The Preston and Steve Daily Podcast is presented by Acme. Acme, fresh foods, local flavors, and the official supermarket of MMR's Preston and Steve Show.
93.3 WMMR, audio on demand, presents the Preston and Steve Show podcast. Preston and Steve's news updates with Kathy Romano.
Today is Thursday, October 4th. Good morning, Kathy.
Good morning. In the news this morning, police are investigating an alleged road rage incident that ended in a stabbing in Northeast Philadelphia Wednesday night. Police said the incident began about 7 o'clock in the 300 block of Levick Street, where an off-duty officer witnessed the crime in progress. He saw a female get out of the vehicle, then open the door of a Chrysler 300 and began stabbing the female driver, said Philadelphia Police Chief Inspector Scott Small. Small said that the off-duty officer managed to wrestle a 10-inch butcher knife from the woman assailant, but she then jumped in her car and drove off. The off-duty officer called police with a description of the car and tag number. Other officers soon spotted the car, which they said struck another vehicle as the woman tried to make her escape. When she finally exited the vehicle, she had another knife in her hand, and police officers had to use a taser to get her to drop the knife. Police apprehended the female suspect at Summerdale and the Boulevard. Police said the 33-year-old victim was stabbed in the face, shoulder, and back, as well as both hands. She's in stable condition at Einstein Medical Center. Police said when they searched the suspect's vehicle, they found a third knife. Officials said,
Are they sure that this was like straight up road rage and not something else where
they're calling it road rage?
Okay. Maybe she knew her and
what makes you think that?
They always say like knives, crime of passion. That's really, really intense for a road rage.
Three in her car.
Yeah, I know.
Might be very passionate about traffic.
Yeah.
I watched a road rage incident happen. Two guys got out of their car right in front of the Metroplex over the weekend, and they were, they just both looked like they wanted the other one to throw the first punch. They both had their face. I mean, I think their noses were touching. They were both big guys. One was a little bit shorter, but, you know, stocky, muscular. And I was like, oh, my God. And I went into the Metroplex, quickly ran into a store, drove out. They were still fighting. And at that point, the cops had started to show up.
We all need to calm down, myself included. We just need to chill out and, like, just let it go. Like, it's funny.
Maybe climb a mountain.
You know, like maybe climb a mountain. But you, myself included here, you kind of go from like 0 to 100 real quick. And you don't sometimes I feel like somebody is being aggressive towards me and they might not be. And then sometimes I feel like somebody might think I'm being aggressive towards them and I'm not. I'm just simply passing you. You know what I mean? Like you're in the right lane. You're not going fast enough. And I'm trying to get over and go around you. And so people get like upset about little things. I'm myself included.
I understand. Yeah, you mean like that time you called that woman the C word on Christmas?
She ran me off the road, Preston. She ran me.
I know.
And I've talked to Nick about that.
Simmer down.
Off the air. And like I hate that. I hate that I said that.
I apologize. I said it incorrectly. You screamed Merry Christmas.
C word.
Right.
That woman went from 0 to 100.
I know.
Real quick. She ran me into oncoming traffic.
We've all had experiences where people.
It's difficult.
Yes.
It's difficult. And you need to remind yourself. I've told you guys before that I've corrected my. It doesn't mean I still don't get angry from time to time, but I've learned to calm down.
Yeah.
That person has moved on. I will probably never see them again for the rest of my life. So
it's not worth
go.
It.
Well, or get that, away from me.
The C word I've seen like 4 or 5 times.
I know.
The guy that I saw, you know, one of the guys had an Eagles T-shirt on and, you know, it was Sunday. It was right before the game. And so as I was pulling out of the Metroplex, kickoff had already happened. And I'm like, this guy was going to do something, probably watch the game somewhere. And now because of something stupid that happened on the road, you're now on the side of the road with another guy fighting and cops are pulling up.
Here's a quick little.
That's how you're going to spend the Eagles game.
Here's a quick little exercise you can use. The person that you are about to rage against, pretend like you actually know that person, right? Pretend that it's like a sister, a cousin, a neighbor, a friend, or whatever, and you won't be as pissed off. And I'm saying this because on Saturday, two Saturdays ago, I was leaving my son's soccer game, and there was a woman who was on the road who was trying to get into traffic. Now, this woman, Steve, did not have her turn signal on.
All right.
And so her brakes were on, off. And so as a result, I was driving. My brakes were on, off. I'm like, do I let this woman go? Like, I don't know what this woman's intentions are. She doesn't have her turn signal on, right? So eventually, I'm like, I have to go.
Yeah.
So I go past this woman. And she is now looking and, like, cursing me out the window.
Right.
And then she realizes that she knows me. And then it's, and then she was like, oh, my God, Casey.
You're still a dick.
Right? No. But she wasn't raging anymore. And I was, you know, like, so and I, that has happened to several people in my life. My little brother did it with a friend. He was about to rage against this guy on the Commodore Bridge. Passes the guy, realizes that it's somebody we know from our childhood. And it's like, okay, you know what? I'm not pissed off anymore. So that person that you're going to rage against, pretend that it's your mom. You know,
and don't carry three knives in your car.
Well, you know, you got to protect yourself, Kat.
Officials said the suspect was also taken to the hospital. The investigation into the incident is ongoing. Seven South Carolina law enforcement officers were shot Wednesday, one fatally in a confrontation with a man who held children hostage as he fired at the officers, officials said. The suspect was taken into custody and the children weren't hurt after the two-hour standoff in an upscale neighborhood just outside of Florence, not far from the areas that were devastated by flooding from Hurricane Florence, authorities said. The man shot three Florence County deputies from inside a home as they came to serve a warrant about 4 o'clock yesterday. The suspect then shot four Florence City police officers, one fatally, as officers from all around the area swarmed in to help.
It's insane.
Insane. A bulletproof vehicle had to be used to rescue the wounded officers as the man held children hostage inside for 2 hours. Officials refused to say why they were serving a warrant. They also did not name him or the wounded officers, nor did they give the conditions for the wounded. However, the fallen officer was identified as 52-year-old Terrence Caraway of Darlington. He had just celebrated 30 years as a police officer. In
30 years.
Yeah, so sad. Both the police chief and county sheriff had tears in their eyes as they spoke to reporters about 2 hours after the standoff ended. I want you to pray for the family who lost the bravest police officer I have ever known, the police chief said. A woman who set up a meeting on a dating app, Tinder, was sexually assaulted outside a Cheltenham Township apartment complex, police say. The incident happened 7:30 Monday on the 1900 block of Asbourne Avenue Road and Linwood, at the Linwood Garden Apartments in Elkins Park. According to authorities, the 19-year-old victim made arrangements to meet someone using Tinder and was lured to a garage area. Once there, police say she was approached from behind by a man. They say he grabbed her and forced her into a secluded area where he sexually assaulted her and then fled on foot. Police say once the victim was certain the suspect left the area, she fled the scene and called the authorities. Lieutenant John Slavin of Cheltenham Township Police said that they want to get the message out that people should be cautious with social media and meeting up with people they don't know. While there are security guards and patrol that patrol the area, residents say a lack of cameras and floodlights make the perimeter of the complex a potentially dangerous area, especially for a first meeting. Anyone with information is asked to contact the Cheltenham Township Police detectives. And the police have issued a warning for anyone using platforms like Tinder to be cautious with meeting strangers and conducting online exchanges and to be aware of their surroundings. They encourage residents to meet in established safe zone internet exchange areas or their local police station when conducting internet business. In sports this morning.
What are you owing about?
What's going on? Well, I don't know. That channel got turned off, and I didn't hear my donkey or my dolphin at the end.
No, none of my in-series play stuff is firing.
Oh.
Okay, we'll just do
sports. That's weird.
Do sports!
Okay. Aaron Judge hit a two-run home run 9 pitches into the game, and the Yankees beat up on the Oakland A's, winning 7-2 last night in the Bronx. New York will take a train to Boston for a best-of-5 division series starting tomorrow night, a matchup of two teams who both had 100 wins during the regular season. Boston went 10-9 against the Yankees this year and set a club record with 108 wins, while the Yankees were the first team since the 2001 A's to reach triple digits in wins and fail to finish first. The National League Division Series begins tonight with the Colorado Rockies facing the Brewers in Milwaukee and the Atlanta Braves traveling to L.A. to play the Dodgers. The Flyers begin their season tonight with a game in Las Vegas against the defending Western Conference champs, the Vegas Golden Knights. The puck drops at 10 o'clock. Delisha Corden, the ex-girlfriend of Buffalo Bills running back and former Eagle LeSean McCoy, claims McCoy physically abused her in a lawsuit filed in a Georgia court. Corden had not previously accused McCoy of physical abuse against her, but she said during a news conference that other women have contacted her with claims that McCoy physically abused them. In new claims added to her lawsuit originally filed in August, Corden alleges defendant McCoy became physically abusive to plaintiff during the 2017 offseason. And the Eagles are still the Super Bowl champs. And that's what I have for you this morning.
All right, thank you very much, Kathy. I am looking at a full list of stuff we got to get to, and we need to break quickly so we can make sure we fit it all in. But I'm just going to give you a quick rundown. We have the birthday bucks coming up, another $1,000 to give away. We'll do that close to 8 o'clock. Guy Fieri will be on the show, and he is promoting his new menu at Guy Fieri's Kitchen and Bar at Harrah's in Philadelphia.
Nice.
Tim Dalton, who's going to be at Helium Comedy Club, is stopping by today. We also have actor Ike Barinholtz, who's been here before, back in the studio. And The Oath is the movie he's promoting, and that'll be in theaters on October 12th. And Casey, is it Moshe Kashner?
Moshe
Kasher, a guy we haven't had a chance to meet yet.
Fascinating story.
He is going to be at Punchline tonight, so we'll spend some time with him. We'll ask him officially to pronounce his name.
Yes.
And a few other things going on. So let's take a break, come back in a second. Whatever we got to give away, we will give away today.
This 93.3 WMMR audio on demand program returns after a brief word from our sponsors.
Do you want the most important purchase of your life to be based on your negotiating skills? Not the case at Steven Singer Jewelers. You are guaranteed to get the perfect price every day. They make the experience of buying an engagement ring easy with no BS. Check him out at the other corner of 8th and Walnut in Philly or online at IHateStevenSinger.com. Steven Singer Jewelers. One place, one price.
Hey, it's Preston. Listen, when I want to relax, you know that I go to Hand & Stone Massage and Facial Spas. Whether you want a rejuvenating massage or a refreshing facial, Hand & Stone is the place to go. Introductory massage or facial start at just $59.95. Visit handandstone.com or one of their over 50 locations in the Delaware Valley. Restrictions apply. See spa for details.
This is the Preston and Steve Show podcast.
WMMR.
Just found that after a long time of missing that clip.
Little flashback.
It's wonderful.
All right, we're going to do a stupid question. We're going to give away a pair of tickets for the Museum of American Revolution, which is opening October 27th. And it is for the, or not the museum, but this event is the Museum Presents Hamilton Was Here Rising Up in Revolutionary Philadelphia. So I'm going to give away those tickets to someone who can answer this question. How a haiku has how many syllables? 215-263-WMMR. Let's see if you know the answer. How many syllables in a haiku? And I have a whole lot of birthdays to go through while we're waiting for your answer. Thursday, October 4th, it's Susan Sarandon's birthday today. She is 72 years old.
Still an accomplished actress, a sexy woman. She was in that series, Feud. Where she played Betty Davis about the filming of Whatever Happened to Baby Jane. She was great. She was awesome.
Yeah, she was. 72 today. Anne Rice, the author, she is 77 years old. She's the creator of The Vampire Lestat.
She left that genre for a while, and now she's back.
Oh, really?
Yeah, she decided to go back to it.
All right, Interview with the Vampire, Queen of the Damned, just a few on her list of accomplishments. Melissa, do you pronounce her last name Benoist?
I do.
Supergirl?
Yes.
Okay. Melissa Benoist. She is an adorable young lady. She's Benoist.
She's from Glee. She was from Glee, and then she went on to Supergirl.
Yep.
And, you know, Kevin Smith is now directing a lot of episodes of Supergirl.
She's 30 years old today. Dakota Johnson.
Yeah.
50 Shades gal. And daughter of Melanie Griffith. And she
and Dwayne Johnson.
And Dwayne, no, not Dwayne Johnson.
Don Johnson.
Also going to be in a remake of Suspiria, which is coming out next year.
By the way, yes, and they say it is like a sumptuous visual horror, like the stuff. It's just an amazing cinematic experience. She happens to be exceptionally funny. She was on a short-lived sitcom,
really,
and she played the self-deprecating female lead, and she was great. I'd love to see her do more comedy.
She's 29 today. Rachel Lee Cook, who was kind of an it girl for a while there. She's all that. Josie and the Pussycats, and I don't know what she does.
Frying Pan Girl. You're a brain on drugs.
That's correct, yeah. She's 39 today. Alicia Silverstone as well, celebrating a birthday today. Lots of fun movies in her career. Clueless, Blast from the Past.
That's how she feeds her kids.
Well, she likes to chew up food and spit it into her children's mouths.
Well, yeah.
At least she did for a stretch there. She's 40.
I guess when they're in college, that stops.
42 today. Armand Asante.
Wow.
And you know what, Steve? I was looking, and he's had a long career.
Yeah.
He goes back, you know, Private Benjamin, if you remember him and that. He was in the Hoffa striptease. American Gangster, I thought he was great at.
He was excellent.
But I was curious. I'm like, you know, really, you don't see him much. I pulled up he is a very, busy working actor.
Busy.
He has got a gazillion things going on. In fact, like four in post-production, three on the way.
Dude, that's awesome.
And he did a whole bunch of stuff this year and last year. I guess he just takes all these small roles on, and he just...
It's the way to keep working.
Working all the time.
The first time I think I saw him was in a movie called... it was Stallone's movie. It was Paradise Alley.
Okay.
Yeah, remember that? It wasn't that good. He played Stallone's brother.
What was that about?
It was about... There was this big, like, bare-knuckle bruiser boxer. It took place in, like, the 30s or 40s.
I remember
Stallone
the name.
Was kind of like a street kid.
Wow. Armand Asante is 69 today. Liev Schreiber.
Yep.
Love that guy. He's great. He is 51 years old today.
It was just Naomi Watts' birthday a few days ago.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
That's right.
They're not together anymore?
Not together anymore.
Kathy was upset because they had a place in Montauk.
I was upset about it.
You were upset.
They sold it. Yeah. They sold the place, right? Yeah. The house went up for sale. Yeah. I wasn't upset. I just wished that I had that money to buy it. Yeah.
We also have Russell Simmons, co-founder of Def Jam Records and Fat Farm Clothing, of course.
He's got a whole bunch of Me Too stuff in his legal docket now. There are a number of women coming after him for sexual misconduct.
He is 61 today. And then a guy I consider to be one of the finest actors out there, Christoph Waltz.
He's great.
That's a bingo.
Yeah, he is 62. He is just, man, he is good.
He's so compelling, like in Django.
Yeah.
When he's on screen, he commands your attention.
He absolutely does. And I'm curious as to what he did before we saw him, through Quentin Tarantino. I mean, he's 62 years old. He's been a longtime actor.
He actually, in his earlier days, made money as a bingo player.
Yeah.
Seriously? dude, you said that with such conviction. I'm like,
he's the guy that would stand up and say...
That's a bingo.
I guess he's he mainly acted in Europe. Wow.
He has one of those great situations where he falls in the favor of a top level director like Quentin Tarantino.
Yeah,
and now because that happens, other actors are like, yeah, I want on board.
And he can play this evil character, or he can play in Django. He's a good guy.
He is a good guy.
And you really like him a lot. So.
And then in Horrible Bosses 2.
Is he in there?
He seems like a good guy. Yeah,
he's not.
Call his dad.
Yeah, Chris Pine.
Chris Pine's dad.
All right, anyhow, those are the birthdays today. Let's see if we can get an answer to a stupid question. How many syllables are in a haiku? And I will let's go to Mary Kate. Hi, Mary Kate. Good morning.
Hi, good morning.
Hey, Mary Kate. Wow, you're awfully chipper.
I love that.
6:47
a.m.
That's
wonderful. I've never been on the radio.
Oh. All right, welcome. Do me a favor. Tell me how many syllables are in a haiku, please.
Is it 17?
It is 17. You're right. Congratulations, Mary Kate. Your first time on the radio gets you something for free. We got a prize. Hang on the line. I'm going to give you a pair of tickets for the Museum of American Revolution opening October 27th. The museum presents Hamilton Was Here, Rising Up in Revolutionary Philadelphia. A limited run interactive experience tracing Hamilton's rise in the Philadelphia region. And if you want tickets, you visit amrevmuseum.org. Let's get right into it. Sarah Gilbert, John Goodman, and Laurie Metcalf are speaking out for the first time together about the abrupt cancellation of ABC's Roseanne and the fresh start that they are getting on The Conners. They all agreed that they were simply not ready to close up shop because of Roseanne Barr's actions.
They had just started.
Yeah. Goodman says there was this feeling of not wanting it to go away until we were ready. He tells People magazine there was a debt owed to this fictional family. We wanted to finish telling this story. Metcalf recalls that she immediately wondered if the show was canceled once she heard about the infamous tweet that Roseanne Barr had sent out. She said, I first thought, oh, I wonder if we'll still have a show because of how heavy everything became. Sarah Gilbert says that she is hopeful that they can work through some of the trauma from the incident via the storyline itself. She said, any sadness that we feel over what we've lost, we're hopefully channeling in an honest way into the show.
I mean, there's no doubt that obviously Roseanne was the main reason that people watched the show initially, but that's an accomplished cast of actors.
Yeah.
I think, as I think about this and the reboot that's happening, and I think it's premiering next week, they should just have her in the bathroom all the time.
Right? Yeah.
That would be
like,
great.
Wouldn't that
be great?
She's always
in the bathroom.
That's really funny.
That's a good idea.
Yeah.
That is a great
you have
idea.
To imagine she has a horrible bowel system, right?
Yeah, yeah. Don't kill her off. Just put her in the bathroom.
Yeah. Didn't they do that with like Chrissy in Three's Company. She wasn't it was in the bathroom, but...
She was away. She was on the phone. Yeah, she was always on the phone.
So she had said, and our show has always been able to deal with heavy topics, particularly for a sitcom. It's been kind of built into the mix. ABC also shared a first look at the Barfree spinoff from the glimpse viewers get. The family is making holiday plans and a voiceover teases. There's one thing on everyone's mind. And then Jackie, of course, Metcalf says...
Oh, not Jackie. Okay.
There's no place for the cornholders. That's the punchline.
No place for the cornhole.
The Connors debuts October 16th on ABC. There will be no straight washing in Fantastic Beasts, The Crimes of Grindelwald. And an interview with Empire Magazine director David Yates clarified comments that he made that Jude Law's version of the character... would not be explicitly gay. He's talking about Dumbledore.
Yes.
Author J.K. Rowling, of course, famously confirmed that the Hogwarts headmaster is gay in 2007. And Yates told Empire in that earlier interview, I didn't say Dumbledore's not gay. He is. This part of this huge narrative that Joe is creating, I guess that's what...
The director?
Yeah. Or
yeah,
no.
They call her.
J.K. Rowling.
What they call her. Really?
That
I didn't
Joe
know that.
Joe is creating... Doesn't focus on his sexuality, but we're not airbrushing or hiding it. The story of the romantic relationship isn't there in this particular movie, but it's clear in what you see that, yes, he's gay.
When Dumbledore makes his first appearance, Nick, I think you know this, it's I'm too sexy for my wand, and he comes out.
Yeah.
And it's, you know, they're not trying to soft pedal it.
He's got a mesh robe on.
Yeah, mesh robe, and I'm too sexy for my wand.
No, he has a...
Too sexy for my wand.
He has a relationship with Grindelwald at some point.
Oh, really?
And we don't know how that ends or why that ends, but then they become mortal enemies.
Okay, who's great in the movie?
Johnny Depp.
Okay, that's
did you see the first one, The Fantastic Beasts? Yeah. So
I did not like it that much. It kind of bored me a little bit.
It's a setup movie.
Yeah. Okay.
I think this one's going to be better than that one. I liked it. But I wasn't blown away by it. But I think this one, just from the looks of the trailers, I think this one's going to be a lot more action packed. So and it really sets up the battle between Grindelwald and Dumbledore.
I liked it on the second viewing. Lot more.
Yeah.
Once I was prepared for Eddie Redmayne's very...
Right.
What are you saying?
Right.
Spit it out!
A couple of scenes we shot are very sensual moments of him and the young Grindelwald, David Yates said. So we have that to look forward to.
Porn.
Until Gwyneth Paltrow fell for Brad Falchuk, she didn't think she'd marry again. She and her first husband, Chris Martin, share two children and famously consciously uncoupled, blah, blah, blah. This past week on the 46-year-old Oscar... Well, we don't need to go down.
No, we don't. And in fact, we appreciate every blah you put there.
Thank you. This past weekend, the 46-year-old Oscar winner married American Horror Story co-creator Falchuk in an intimate wedding at their home in the Hamptons. She said, speaking to Marie Claire UK, I think the marriage is a really beautiful, noble, and worthwhile institution, pursuit, and endeavor.
Because, shut up, dummy.
Because I don't think you get married... And that's it. I think it's the beginning. You create this third entity, this third being that you have to nourish and look after.
She didn't just invent marriage. It's been around for a while. We got it.
She said, for a while, I thought, I don't know if I'd ever do it again. I have my kids. What's the point? But then, and she said, and then I met this incredible man who made me think, no, this person is worth making this commitment to. And as it turns out, she says, I'm very much the marrying kind. I love making a home.
You know, the litmus test is if George Clooney gets married, there's always hope for marriage.
Yeah, that's right. The reaction on social media to episode 8 of the Star Wars saga was notoriously bad, but according to a new academic paper conducted at the University of Southern California, The Last Jedi was getting blasted by bots, trolls, sock puppets, or political activists using the debate to propagate political messages supporting extreme right-wing causes and the discrimination of gender, race, or sexuality. A number of these users appear to be Russian trolls.
Russian trolls looking to agitate things up, but the thing that really caught my ear, sock puppets. Those bastards with their googly eyes.
The campaign was part of a widespread attempt to subvert the political process, the study argues. The likely objective of these measures is to increase media coverage of the fandom conflict, thereby adding to and further propagating a narrative of widespread discord and dysfunction in American society. More than 50% of negative posts online came from bots, they're saying, from this study that was done. The reaction was so bad, some Star Wars actors like Kelly Marie Tran quit social media over the harassment.
You know how you can fight this? Have your own opinion.
The last Jedi's director. Yeah, but now it's all a debate.
It's crazy.
Online.
It's all crazy. Yes.
The last Jedi's director, Rian Johnson, tweeted the study, writing, "What the top line describes is consistent with my experience online. And just to be totally clear, this is not about fans liking or not liking the movie. I've had tons of great talks with fans online and off who liked and disliked stuff. That's what fandom is all about. This is specifically about a virulent strain of online harassment."
I liked The Last Jedi. Yeah. I liked it less the second time I saw it.
Oh, really?
Yes.
Okay.
Just because I saw some doesn't mean I don't like it.
Inconsistencies,
I'm like,
yeah.
Why did they do this?
Yeah.
And what about that guy who we thought was going to be the real bad baddie who gets taken out pretty quickly?
I only watched it once.
Yeah, yeah.
I enjoyed it, so. Kim Kardashian knows why her daughter looks like her, but it's not what you think. She says that she and 8-month-old Shy, which is short for Chicago.
Ooh, I didn't know that.
When you go to Chicago, they call
Chi-Town.
It Chi-Town. It's called Chi-Town, yeah.
Chicago!
She says that she and 8-month-old Shy look alike because God decreed it.
Oh.
She said, I think...
You shall look alike. I'm done here.
She said, I...
Now to work on Rob.
She said, I think I was so nervous to have a surrogate and to have that connection that God was like, I'm going to make her look just like you.
I'm going to give you some commandments, like, and I would like you to follow them and deliver them unto the children of Israel.
Like.
Like, and don't screw this up.
So she revealed this.
Or, like, I'll be upset. And then I'll deliver unto you my son. And like, he's going to be amazeballs.
Yeah. She's saying it was decreed by God.
Well, there we go. Someone's not full of themselves.
She also addressed the blowback that she got after announcing on social media that she weighed 119 pounds. She said, I 100% completely understand where people would be coming from that felt that way. My intention is never to offend anyone, and I really apologize if I offended anyone.
Is that her legitimate weight?
So here's the deal. So Kendall had said in one clip posted on Kim's Instagram stories back in August, "You look so skinny. I'm really concerned. I don't think you're eating."
Why don't they call each other up?
And then Chloe right? said, I've never seen a human being look so good. It's like you're a walking Facetune doll. And she added that her sister looked anorexic.
That's good stuff.
What?
Yeah.
So wait a minute. Hang on. She says she's never seen a human being look so good, and she added that she looks anorexic.
Wow.
Wait, man. That's the same person who said that, or
Chloe.
Yeah, Chloe.
This is Chloe saying this.
You know, she's the star of Revenge Body. That's her series.
You look so great. You look anorexic.
You look emaciated. Yes. You look like a Holocaust survivor.
No. Kendall was the one who said she looked anorexic.
It says here, Khloe Kardashian added, noting that her sister looked anorexic.
Huh. All right. Sorry.
So, what do you need?
No. I thought maybe she was getting conflicting.
Hey, what's your problem?
No, listen. I just thought she was getting conflicting reports from her sisters. I was wrong. I apologize.
Social media users and celebs were horrified. Stephanie Beatriz and Emmy Rossum were among those who reacted, saying the comments could trigger eating disorders. She revealed, I don't know. It says she revealed. I don't know who this is referring to. Said, I know people that have serious eating disorders that have been in and out of the hospital for 15 years. Close people. So I assume this is Kim saying this.
Yeah.
So I've been through. I've experienced it enough to have known better. So she's apologizing.
I believe Kim's sorry.
Yeah.
Wasn't one of the family members battling an eating disorder at one point?
Possibly.
Not Rob, certainly. Mm.
How about this? Kate Hudson announced that she and her partner Danny Fujikawa welcomed their first child.
Yeah!
A girl named Ronnie. It's spelled R-A-N-I, but it's pronounced Ronnie. Ronnie Rose Hudson Fujikawa.
Ronnie Rose Hudson Fujikawa.
Correct. And this was on Tuesday. She said, we have decided to name our daughter Ronnie after her grandfather Ron Fujikawa. Ron was the most special man who we all miss dearly. To name her after him is an honor. And Hudson wrote in their announcement post, which was captioned simply, she's here. So no Ronnie from you, Kathy?
Oh, you know what? I was wondering why Steve said Kathy.
I'm very cryptic.
Got it. Got it.
Just like Ronnie said.
Yes.
Well,
it's okay.
That's okay. How often does Tom Cruise see Suri? If you're curious, he's permitted per his custody agreement with his ex Katie Holmes to see his daughter up to 10 days a month. But a source tells Us Weekly he hasn't seen his 12-year-old in years.
Oh, that's wow.
As we suspected.
That's what we've been thinking, yes. Yeah. And we think that the large portion of that is due to Scientology.
It's got to be.
It has to be.
Because they do so much detachment in that religion, if you want to call it that.
Leah Remini's series is entirely based on that separation, that forced backturning on people who leave the church.
I'm glad you mentioned that. Is there going to be another season of that?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. It's a big hit for the... Well, there's no more Kevin Can Wait, so she's got, working two series at once.
That's appointment television for Rochelle.
It's unbelievable.
We absolutely love it.
If you want to binge a series, if you're looking for something to binge, you got two seasons.
You can't stop watching it once you start.
Now, Nicole Kidman isn't in Scientology anymore either,
No. In fact, it was always, if you watched any of the documentaries, it was always a sore point
for her?
In the church because Nicole Kidman's father is a psychologist.
And they're the Antichrist
when
it comes to Scientologists.
Because he had seen his kids that he has with her.
He actually has custody, I think, of...
Right, like there was that maybe she was not, that Nicole Kidman was not in her kids' lives.
It might be, Kathy. I don't know how it broke out.
To answer your guys' question, there is a third season coming up. I'm trying to find the premiere date and I can't, but Leah Remini is also going to be doing a show with, as an actress, with Rob McElhenney. She's going to be on the. It's just on IMDb. It's untitled. Rob McElhenney, Rob Rossell, Fox Project.
Oh man!
Oh no way!
So maybe can get us in touch with her.
Exactly. Oh my God! That'd be so cool.
I want to talk to her about all that stuff.
What? And Caitlin Olsen's going to be on the show as well.
Oh nice!
Yeah,
excellent. All right, I have a couple other things from ABC's Black-ish. Tracy Ellis Ross says that she, in an interview with InStyle, that she has found her happy place. She's the November cover story and says she's very pleased with her life.
Wait, you just passed right over that? We have a woman here going on record to announce she's found her happy place and you just whisk right by it.
Well, I'm
going
to get to the details because it is interesting because she's 45 and single and childless and she likes it that way.
Okay.
So she's, that breaks a lot of norms as far as wanting to be in a relationship or wanting to have children at the age of 45.
Do you know that a lot of people don't know that Diana Ross is her mommy?
No, I did not know that. Yeah. Wow. So she said it's sort of fascinating to be 45 and single and childless. She said happily single, I should add, and not at home crying about it.
She plays a good mother on Black-ish.
She said some of the ability to reflect on what I really want comes from pushing up against a society that chains me for not having the expected trappings. I'm very pleased with my existence these days. Have I had to learn to make friends with loneliness? Yes. And I think if we're in a relationship, it would be the same. So that's kind of interesting.
Damn right.
And, I mean, she's successful. She's beautiful. And you don't expect that from 45 years old.
I think she's hosting the American Music Awards.
Is she?
Does life get any better?
Okay. Well, she's happy. Director Brett Ratner is dropping his libel suit against Melanie Kohler, a former Endeavor employee who accused him of rape. He had filed the suit against her on November 1st, the same day that the L.A. Times reported that six other women were also accusing him of misconduct.
Are there any criminal investigations against him at this point?
I don't know. In this story, it does not say. I would assume that there would be, right?
Six different ones?
Yeah.
You figure one would take. Unless they're all out. I can't believe they're all outside the realm of...
statute of limitations.
Yeah, statute of limitations.
That's a good question. Kohler's attorney, Roberta Kaplan, calls Ratner's decision to drop the suit a win for women everywhere. And then one last thing, the biopic Vice, the trailer dropped yesterday. Christian Bale as Dick Cheney.
Did you see that clip?
I did.
For Christ's sake, it's unbelievable how much like Dick Cheney he is.
Yeah. It's Adam McKay's project, obviously, and the resemblance is uncanny, like Steve said. The film also stars Amy Adams as Lynn Cheney, Steve Carell as Donald Rumsfeld, and it took me a moment to see that was in the first clip I saw that it's Sam Rockwell as George W. Bush, and they've done an amazing makeup job on all these people.
I don't care what the general movie is, the vocal impression and the gesticulations and the movement that Christian Bale does, who's a guy who is freaking Batman playing Dick Cheney, blows your mind. It's almost mesmerizing.
Like, his body language, Steve, is it's spot on the way he moves his head.
You know what he gets to is the half smile that Cheney has.
Yes.
Yeah.
The side smile.
Yeah. And also, there's he has a very, Preston, to your audio thing, you know, the, what is it?
ASMR.
Cheney has a very mellifluous...
Right. A lot of vocal fry.
Right.
Vice drops at Christmas, by the way, but it's uncanny. So if you haven't seen it yet, take a look at that. All right, we're going to do clips now. And Grey's Anatomy is in its 15th season, and tonight marks their 320th episode.
Wow. You can bet your ass I will not be watching.
Here, Camilla Luddington, who has been on the show since 2012, explains what happens to the cast behind the scenes on a long-running series.
We're kind of a big family. I mean, you have to realize that we spend 10 months of the year together. You know, a lot of shows are, you know, 8 episodes or 12 episodes. We're 24 episodes, so we are a family.
Yeah.
A new episode of Grey's Anatomy airs tonight at 8 o'clock on ABC. Let's do the next clip, folks. The standalone Venom film explores the complex and menacing character. Here, Tom Hardy talks about what he enjoys most about playing Venom.
I think he just looks brilliant. I like the look of him. He's got massive teeth. Do you know what I mean? He's huge. He bites people's heads off. He's got those eyes going on. And I just enjoy looking at him.
Venom is in theaters tomorrow, and we had the screening last night. I didn't get to go to it, but
yeah. So it's getting some mixed reviews, but even the reviews that are less than stellar say it's a lot of fun.
Cool, that's what you want out of a movie. That's it for entertainment. I need a beer.
Too much.
I can't have one right now, but I can give you a case of beer. And I have a case of Yard's Rival IPA for caller number 14 at 215-263-WMMR. With Minnesota in town this weekend looking for revenge against our birds, be sure that you have plenty of Yard's Rival IPA on your hand to celebrate another win. You can pick up some at South Philly Bar and Grill on Passyunk Avenue. So caller 14, it's yours. Give us a call. We have a lot of people and a lot of things to do this morning on the program. We will be back in just a second. Give you the details of it all in a bit. Stay with us.
The Preston and Steve Show on 93.3 WMMR. Like the podcast, you'll also love it live when you can call in. Weekdays from 6 a.m. to about 10:30 a.m. on the radio at 93.3 WMMR. Or stream the show live via MMR's mobile app.
Thank you very much, Kathy. Saw this article that Steve sent over to me, which is kind of interesting. Well, there are health and beauty influencers on social media nowadays.
Yes, we all have our Kylie lip kits.
Right, exactly.
Yeah. Kathy's an influencer.
Are you an influencer?
Yeah.
You kind of are, but you sort of vet things. You don't, you'll put up things that you're using that are legitimate products.
That is their job. I mean, that is their job. Is to be influencers.
Well, what do we find out that for an influencer like Kylie or was it Selena Gomez? One tweet was worth to the company of the product she was promoting like $3 million.
It was ridiculous. Yeah. Somebody who's like got a big, big following.
Yes.
But there's health and beauty influencers that are encouraging women to smother their breaths in toothpaste and Vaseline to reduce sagging and make your breast grow larger.
That's really, they're just playing a joke on you.
Well, they don't think so.
Do you brush your breasts in the morning, Kathy?
No, I don't.
Up and down, side to side.
Listen, there's nothing that's going to stop your sagging unless it's surgery.
Yeah.
Not slathering them in toothpaste?
There's a YouTuber called Natural Beauty 556 and uploaded a video titled Tighten Sagging Breasts in Just 5 Days Using Toothpaste, claiming that a mixture of toothpaste, plain flour, egg whites, and grated cucumber.
Grated cucumbers. There's your healthy aspect.
Will tighten up your breasts like really, really crazy. And I quote there.
Like really? I say this, and I'm no scientist. But toothpaste on your skin, if you ever get it on your skin, it just kind of dries up and tightens a little bit.
Yeah, my friend
like temporarily.
Used it for pimples.
All right, for pimples.
Pimples?
Mm-hmm.
Interesting.
But I can't imagine any long-term benefit from toothpaste-covered breasts.
Yeah,
other than a nice, pleasant smell.
Another channel, Susanna Home Remedy, suggests putting toothpaste on your nipples and rubbing Vaseline on your breasts to make your breasts grow larger.
You forgot the first step, Preston, which is to raise your blinds and face the window.
Right. These videos have received millions of views from people desperate to change the shape and size of their breasts without surgery.
Huh. But surgery is so common these days.
Yeah. It's not exactly clear how many of them have attempted the technique. But apparently, and according to this article, rubbing toothpaste on your breasts will not make them any bigger.
These are all sorts of beauty enhancement life hacks. Mm-hmm. What was the one? There was another one that was fairly recent that was something like this, where you use one product for another result. I'm trying to remember what it was. It was equally as dumb, though. Here we have video up of toothpaste going on the breast.
Yeah, the toothpaste will also not reduce sagging. There's all kinds of weird... If you go through history, there have been all kinds of bizarre fads. You know, like I remember putting mayonnaise in your hair.
Yes.
As being one way, way back when.
What about the beer shampoo? Is that legit? Did that ever pan out? Remember washing your hair in beer?
No, I don't remember that one.
I think my mom would use beer in her hair rollers. Is that accurate?
Really?
Yeah, when she was a teenager.
Or would she hide beer in her hair rollers?
No. She would use it as a way, like you would put the rollers up and then spray with beer. Huh. And it was like almost a de facto hairspray. And Casey, I've used toothpaste for pimples and it works.
Yeah. Does it?
Yeah, it dries them out.
Yeah.
I don't know what the active ingredient in the toothpaste is, but like if in a pinch and you don't have any pimple cream, toothpaste will do the trick.
This looks like a bad porn that we're watching here.
Yeah, it does. By the way, Nick, bringing up hair rollers, if I ever happen to see someone with rollers in a bathrobe or something, it's hilarious to me.
Yes.
It just looks
It's such a classic sign.
Yeah, it is.
Yeah.
Especially if they're smoking a cigarette.
Yeah, when he came into the back window.
Yeah.
Did women ever... I stole my frying pan.
I did the horse and mane shampoo for a while. That was supposed to, you know, make your hair grow fast.
Literally
like
made for horses.
Yeah.
But some people, in fact, a lot of people
swear by it.
Yeah. Wait, so it makes your hair grow faster?
That's what the claim was.
Oh, I didn't know
was.
That.
Well, I thought it was supposed to make it give it a fine sheen.
Both.
Mm-hmm. A Martin sheen.
Yeah. What about
a
eggs?
Charlie sheen. What's that?
What about
hair is growing like crazy.
Sorry.
No, it's my fault. What about eggs? Do people actually use eggs? To wash their hair.
Oh. I've never used eggs on my hair, no.
Okay. You know it's good, though? Rub eggs on your penis and then do a video. Bring it in for me.
I've told you guys this story many times, but and I'm going to say it because I want to embarrass him on the air. My friend Stu Sidlow, who's now a doctor, we convinced him that if you put peanut butter on a hickey, it'll make the hickey go away.
Oh, no.
And he fell for it, and he's now a doctor.
He's now a doctor. He's an anesthesiologist. He's a brilliant. And but back in college, we convinced him that this would get rid of the hickey.
I will tell you that there's their entire industry. That have, if you were to had marketed, and because it's kind of peanut butter, maybe that would work.
Yeah. So he was in the middle of the summer and he walked around college campus and had peanut butter slathered all over his neck.
I love it.
Didn't do a damn thing to hickey, but it entertained us.
By the way, the only thing that will happen when you put toothpaste on your breast is make them smell minty. It says you might notice a feeling of tightness, however.
Right.
But that is because toothpaste is drying, so it will make skin anywhere in your body feel a bit dry. Drier and tighter. It's why people use toothpaste to treat spots because it dries out oil and sebum. I don't know what sebum is.
I'm not sure. How do you spell it?
S-E-B-U-M.
Sebum.
Sebum.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's a fluid I have not heard of.
It's like Cowper's fluid.
Yeah.
Yeah, exactly.
Oh, my God.
A toothpaste cannot...
That's pre-sebum.
That's sick. Look at that.
Look, that's a bunch of pre-sebum. I haven't even gotten to the real sebum yet. You just wait, baby. I'm going to sebum all over you. Oh, God. This is just the pre-sebum.
A lot of it, too.
A lot of it, too. Yeah. It's like cock.
Pre-sebum.
He's very, well...
Hates us?
I was going to say he's very professional. I guess.
He is very professional.
In his own way. He must hate that we've known him for so many years and that this continues.
But we say many times, he's a great guy. He's Love just anyway. He's just very...
done dealish.
Imitatable. Yes.
A toothpaste cannot penetrate deeply enough into the skin and reach the breast tissue to have any long-term effect. The same.
Is this the same article that says, yes, you can, no, you can't?
No, it says you can't.
That there are people that believe this and are uploading videos saying that you should do this, and then the article is saying it doesn't do anything.
Got it.
So Preston, when Rochelle had the BBG.
Yeah.
It was like a tightening or a right.
It was a lift.
A lift.
Yeah.
So how, if I may ask, how extensive a procedure is that?
It's pretty extensive.
Yeah.
Is it?
Hey, did that last?
Yeah, she looks great. Yeah.
Okay, I don't mean the whole thing. I mean the actual breast lift because a lot of doctors will recommend that you don't do the lift, that you actually put, even if you have large boobs, that you put an implant in.
Really?
Because it'll stay longer. Because
could you just lower your head and make it look higher by comparison? Ooh,
yeah. She had that procedure how many years ago? 10 years ago?
10 years ago, yeah.
And they're still wonderful, perky as ever.
Okay. So much so that we were at an event and Dr. Mike again thought he was reaching around and the way I did, holding her arm, and it was her boob.
He grabbed her boob.
Yeah. Dr. Mike did?
Yeah. But he can do that.
Yeah, he's a doctor.
He's grabbed everything.
He's already done it clinically.
Yeah. So anyhow, this not only is toothpaste not having any long-term effect by rubbing it on your boobs because it doesn't penetrate deep enough into the skin, neither does Vaseline. It says if you rub your breast with petroleum jelly, they might appear larger because they have a sheen on them.
Right. That's true. That's why bodybuilders oil up before a pose down. It makes you look bigger.
Exactly.
But freaking oil makes your boobs look bigger.
But you won't notice an actual increase in size as a result.
You know, is there any truth to the rumor that rubbing snackables on your rectum is a good thing to do?
It's 100% true.
All right. So the whole oil, there's countless ones of these. And then people, they'll go and they'll market basically what is regular oil, like baby oil, as a new product that increases the size of your breast. And people fall for it.
Now, I don't know about increasing breasts, but, you know, the Preparation H on the eyes.
That works, though, right?
Yeah. Well, I mean, that stuff is, it's medicine. It's made.
It's meant to.
To shrink tissue.
Yeah.
At least from what I understand. That's, I mean, you know, it's an over-the-counter medicine that you can buy, so that's what it does.
Have you ever used it for its actual intended application?
Yes.
How effective is it?
I didn't...
For hemorrhoid treatment.
I don't remember.
Okay.
I
go ahead.
You could skip this story.
I had anal pain.
Yes, I have anal pain.
The death metal band.
Anal pain.
I just recently had some butt issues the other day, man.
Back in a flounder, didn't you?
Back in a flounder.
I told Casey about it. I had to make what my friend calls a butt tampon out of toilet paper.
Oh, yes. We've all been there.
What?
We've all been there.
No, I...
Really?
Well, so,
no, we haven't.
No, we haven't.
No, we have not all been there.
Not swamp ass. Kathy, come to say, you call it swamp ass.
Yeah.
You call it a visit from your friend.
Oh, and she and Kathy always insists that it's because
take
of
a shower.
My hygiene. That's not
you
it.
Are dirt. Your ass is dirty.
It's from cleaning too much.
There, he's right.
You rub it
he's
raw.
He's right. You it's rub it raw. Yes.
No. Get okay. Just get in the shower. That
I do this.
Clean,
I do
not
it.
Wipe with toilet paper.
No. Kathy did, and it's painful.
I don't believe you.
Oh my God! You can just.
Here's the deal. So I can tell you, I have a spotless butt. I'm telling, thick and span. But sometimes I tend to overclean.
Yes. Thank you, Steve.
Yes.
We worked together for 20 years, and we...
You never know. I apologize for never turning around and parting my cheeks to show you.
Preston, you told me about packing a flounder the other day.
That's what it's called, by the way. Somebody years ago told us, my friend used to call that packing a flounder.
What? Putting
toilet paper
the tissue
between
in.
Your butt cheeks.
Yeah, it's a butt tampon.
To help to keep the chafing down.
Right.
Okay.
Yeah.
By the way, if you're pre-med, keep listening because this is valuable information.
Mm-hmm. But I just have a question for you because you were telling me...
That hadn't happened in years, by the way.
Right. Yeah.
I had an issue with it the other day, and it's all better now. I'm great.
There you go.
Go ahead.
And we do share a lot of intimate information
with
each other.
Of course we do.
But you had told me this packing the flounder thing, and I was thinking about it later on in the day because it had a tone as if you thought...
It was wistful.
As if you thought I have packed a flounder before.
No, I just remember you finding it funny.
Okay.
I remember you finding that particular phrase funny, and that's why I brought
it
up.
It is a funny phrase.
Yeah.
But I've yet to pack a flounder.
Okay.
Okay.
Well, count yourself lucky, sir.
Yeah, all right.
Because it's not a fun experience.
Phew, the proud.
I woke up in the middle of the night and did it.
Uh-huh.
I told you that. Yeah, I went to the restroom.
It can be quite uncomfortable.
I'm going to pack a flounder now.
Yes.
And I did, and it helped, and it worked.
You know what? You're missing a product here, and Preston's flounders.
Yeah. Preston's, there's a little alliteration there with the P, packing a flounder. Preston's, but I need flounder packer, maybe something like that.
Yeah. Preston's fantastic flounder packer. It's kind of like, like an alliterative sandwich
uh-huh.
with the P's on the outside and the F's in the middle.
Yeah, I like it.
Mm-hmm.
Well, we'll work on that.
Okay, we'll work on it.
But it's there. Where you know, it's like pop, fizz, fizz. We're looking for the right phrase.
The problem with the toilet paper is it's just too brittle. So you need to get like something more...
Brittle, more durable?
More durable,
Your toilet paper's brittle?
Fantastic flounders and how to pack them.
I like that, too.
It's a little long.
Yeah, it is.
A little long.
Do you guys, do you have any home remedies that...
I removed my own prostate.
Wow.
Yeah, well, I told you guys the one the other day that for Listerine on dogs, you know, when they have
hot spots.
Yeah. So a hot spot on, especially on a golden retriever, is an open wound. They're disgusting, but the dogs scratch them and often have to have the cone of shame on.
Yeah, yeah.
And, but Listerine or some generic version thereof will clear it up, dry it out, and it's much cheaper remedy than having to go to the vet. So in a pinch, if you were to use Listerine, it would do the trick.
But things like that. What was the other that I one time used because it dries? I one time used Pepto-Bismol on a pimple.
Okay,
really? Yeah, because if you ever let it dry, it gets. I figured anything that would dry the skin would be valid, and it did work. Now a lot of times you wonder if it was just going to do what it was going to do anyway.
When I was a kid, we used to use, because we played outside so much, and I would just get eaten alive by mosquitoes, I would be covered in calamine lotion.
Yeah. Calamine.
You remember using that?
Absolutely. And that dried you out as well.
Big time. Yeah. It would dry up. You put it on there, it would start off wet, it would dry up, and then it would kind of... Really, it would contract a little bit.
It got
and then
wider. Got wider. Yeah, yeah.
But we'd be covered in calamine lotion.
As a kid, my whole life was home remedies with my mom.
True.
It always involved apple cider vinegar and olive oil in some way.
I always imagine your mom like in the woods with like a piece of straw in her mouth and give me a little bit of that toad juice there.
No, seriously, if she could, she would go out into the woods and find things to use to solve all the world's problems.
I need some roots.
Yeah, well, my grandmother was like that. She's like,
was she?
She pulls some and she's like, this is ginseng, you know? Yeah. Here, try some of this, you know? And I'd be like, no, I'm not going to eat that.
Say butt flounder three times and look in the mirror.
Let me go to Natalie. Hey, Natalie, good morning.
Good morning.
Hey, what's up, Natalie?
Hi, I just wanted to let you know that my sister's fiance has a toilet that will wash and dry your butt.
We're
not talking about like a bidet, right? We're talking about a real full-blown toilet that will wash and dry your ass.
A bidet that dries? Yeah. A blow dryer bidet?
Yeah.
God. I want that.
It has different features. You can do the front or the back.
I'm looking right now.
Look that up.
I only have a butt on the back.
It's pretty cool. You don't need any wipes and you don't need to overwipe.
Natalie, do you have a brand name?
I know what she's talking about. I've seen it, and it is...
No, I don't.
Toilet?
Yeah.
It washes and dries, I'm going to use the clinical terms, your ass.
Okay.
This is it. Look at the video, Steve. This is it.
Okay, we're watching right now. It looks like it has a seat warmer.
No, somebody peed all over that seat.
Thank you, what do you mean?
It looked yellow. Okay, it is a seat warmer.
It was highlighting something. Okay.
But there is like a remote, and you can basically do...
Thanks, Natalie.
...front, back, wash,
Are
dry,
you
whatever.
Kidding me?
That's pretty cool. I just thought of an endorsement for our friend John downstairs, MGK, the DiBella de Bidet.
Yeah. At DiBella de Bidet.
That's perfect.
Why
has no one done that?
Yes.
Hang on a second. Somebody wants to strongly advise against the Listerine.
Okay.
Is this Sierra?
It is. Hi, guys.
Hey, what's up, Sierra?
It's okay.
What's happening?
So I'm actually on my way to work. I'm a veterinary technician.
Okay.
And just wanted to let listeners know, do not actually put Listerine on a dog's hot spot.
Okay.
It's really painful. There's no guarantee that that will work in the long term.
All right.
And seeking veterinary care is the best and most recommended way, because we can simply take a look, clean it up, and send you home with a spray to take care of it without...
And a $500 bill.
No, actually, it will be much less than that.
Much less than that. All right.
No, yeah, you're right. I mean, you should take the dog to the vet if you're able to do so. But I know just from growing up and having three golden retrievers, we would use it often. And we did get a text from another vet tech who said, who echoed my sentiment about using Listerine. So I'm sure that she's right about the best option is taking it to the vet.
Yeah, proper medical care.
You never want to throw caution to the wind.
Thanks, Sierra. Appreciate it.
What's the brand name of this? I'm serious.
I don't know.
Geberit?
Life is a Gebere.
Gebert. Hang on, Marissa's got something to say.
I found another one called OpMed, and I think it's also intended for maybe people who receive care.
Okay.
So that they can, you know, they don't always have to have somebody with them.
Oh, to take care of that for them.
Yes.
Okay, to wipe their butt for them
but,
or whatever.
And I'm sure that's a good use, but this I saw in a hotel, so it was, you know.
Wow. Yeah. I wouldn't do that at a hotel.
I wonder how much it would cost.
So I saw one that was for like $4,000.
$4,000?
Wow.
Oh, man.
Wait, why wouldn't you do that in a hotel?
Because
you use the, do you not
that's
use
exactly
the,
where you, that's what you're doing. For a test.
When you're going to the bathroom anyway.
I know, but it's a very intimate when something starts spraying into your hiney. Hold.
Like, where's the water filter?
I think it's very intimate when something starts spraying into your hiney hole.
I'm right.
Okay. I got to go to this call. This sounds weird. Jordan, you're on the air. Good morning.
Hey, good morning.
Hey, what's up, Jordan?
Hey, my mom gets really, really bad migraines. Mm-hmm. And one time we're on an airplane, she forgot her medication. So she takes that Q-tip, dips it in Tabasco, and snorts it.
What?
She takes a Q-tip, dips it into Tabasco, and then snorts it. And does it sort of shotgun open her sinuses?
Apparently, she feels the pain, the burn, more than the migraine.
Wow. Oh, it's diverting the pain.
Right. Okay. Why did she just shoot herself in the foot?
Oh, my God.
That's interesting.
I've never heard of that one, Jordan.
Yeah.
Interesting. Thank you. Appreciate it, man.
Wow. Right, so that's a ballsy move.
Have you heard that, you know, your body can't process pain and, like, extreme cold at the same time?
No.
So,
is that a fact?
You're hearing it from my mouth.
Right, probably.
Wrong. But what I do know is that when I was getting cortisone shots into the bottom of my feet.
Yes.
And they would spray my foot with this cold spray before they would hit it with the needle.
But I was thinking, isn't that just sort of deadening the nerves?
No, it's numbing it. It wasn't numbing it.
Okay.
That's lidocaine. This is a cold spray.
Colvacaine.
And the podiatrist was telling me that my body can't process the extreme cold and the pain at the same time.
Interesting.
Yeah.
Okay.
So because then once the cold wore off, like, you know, which was only a couple of seconds later, I could totally feel it. But anyway.
This would actually hold up because you remember Yukon Cornelius removed all of the Abominable Snowman's teeth and there was no scream of pain or anything.
No. Oh,
yeah.
I this is kind of a long, drawn-out way of, like...
All right, go ahead.
I'm
we'll go on the journey with you.
Please, come with me here. If you could have some sort of thing that you put in the freezer that was basically a hat, you know, that, like, if you ever had a really bad headache...
A freezer hat.
If you get a freezer hat, and then...
You know, the freezer hat.
You put the hat on your head, and it covers your skull, and, yes. And perhaps...
Yeah, maybe that would cool you down. That could be.
It's better than snort Tabasco.
Hang on. So you're saying put a helmet in the freezer.
No, not a hat. Come on. What are you, ridiculous?
Jesus.
Well, something like a bowler.
Okay.
No, something more of like a knit cap that has...
That retains cold?
That retains cold.
Could you imagine you go over to the refrigerator and put it on your bowl? Where are you going?
I'll bet you something like that exists. And it does.
And it does.
An Elastogel Cranial Hot Cold Therapy Cap.
It's
what
done.
Do they use that for?
And
look there, Preston, now in Lincoln version.
What?
Like a Lincoln's hat.
Lincoln's hat? Oh, like a stovepipe.
Yeah, you can fill that with ice.
Stovetop hat.
Stovepipe hat.
I meant to say pipe.
Well, it's expensive, too.
It's $70.
Yeah, for the ice cap. There's one called the ice cap, and there's one called the Elastogel.
Only $45.
We have two of the Incredibles right there.
Well, let's look at the reviews on this thing. Let's see if it is worth $70.
So anyhow, well, I could see how that could temporarily give you a little bit of relief. It's It's akin to putting a. We would always just take a towel.
Yeah.
And wet it, and you either put it in the freezer or you use warm water
for around your neck or over your head.
Yeah,
correct?
Something like that.
All right.
But this is a goofy-looking hat, helmet that you could wear.
Looks like you're going to spar.
As well. Let's see here. All right, let me go back to the toilet thing. I have Ryan. Hi, Ryan. You're on the air. Good morning.
Hey, good morning, guys.
Hey, what's up, Ryan?
So I just wanted to comment in on this. My uncle actually put three of these in his house out in San Francisco, and they're called the Numi. And it has an aux input for your phone. It has the radio on a touch panel, and it also has your feet warmers.
Wow.
And a toilet seat warmer and cooler. It's really a phenomenal.
All right. Is your uncle wealthy?
Yeah.
Yeah, I'd say a little bit because they were, I think they were like 6,000 or 7,000.
Oh, my God.
All right, so 6,000 or 7,000. Let me ask you about this, Ryan. Does it do the heat, the butt cleaning feature?
I don't remember. I think you can change the temperature of the water. Yeah.
Okay. Now, what you need is actually, because the one that I'm interested in will actually, a la a bidet, clean out, give you a little extra clean and then dry your buttocks.
Yeah, it's exactly what this thing does. And I know you can control the temperature of the blower, too.
Oh, right. Well, then that's interesting.
Yeah, we're looking at a video of this right now, Ryan. And, yeah, it's got cleaning, Steve. It looks like water cleaning for the front and back, drying for the front and back, and then all kinds of stuff, music and so on. So that's out of hand.
It's also a deep fryer, Preston.
Wow. You can make chicken wings while you're there, too.
You turn around, who wants some chicken?
Wow, okay.
Some people have too much money. Thanks. This is an extravagance that nobody needs.
No, I just need your basic level automatic ass cleaner and dryer.
But the bidet is standard in Europe.
Yes, it is.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I remember I was down, actually it was in Jamaica, and the hotel that we were at, Claire and I, had a bidet, and I took it out for a spin as far as the butt.
Yeah.
It's used for the butt, too.
I feel like you need this, Preston.
She just, when she heard ass flounder, butt pack a flounder, and she freaked out.
This would help you.
I have a very clean butt. No, you're right.
You got to remember, she comes from the world of Santeria.
I will use, if there's a bidet, I'll use it whether I need to or not. It's there. May as well use it.
Listen, if you're thirsty, it's a wonderful little fountain to have in the bathroom.
Yeah, or not. Let me see. Hang on a second. Amy has a story about this toilet thing. Hi, Amy. You're on the air. Good morning.
Hi. I just wanted to let you know my dad has been looking into this toilet, and he found it on Sam's Club. It was on sale for $500, if you're interested.
No, $500. And what is his assessment of its cleaning capabilities?
It does everything that original caller was saying. It dries your butt, washes it off. You're not supposed to have to use toilet paper.
Yeah, I don't think that's the issue, is the toilet paper, the abrasiveness of the toilet paper.
Yeah, it can happen.
It does.
So I don't think it's the one that we're looking at right here, Steve. I think it's the one that we had the earlier call.
This one has an automatic car starter as well.
Yeah, this one's
it's a little too much.
Yeah, this is the Bentley of toilets right here. I will go to, let me go to Jackie. Hey, Jackie, good morning.
Hi, how are you?
Good, what's up, Jackie?
I can't believe the first time I'm calling in is about a toilet.
I know, it's the way life works.
Yeah, what's up?
Yeah, I was in New York, and Morimoto's actually has that toilet there.
Really?
And by the time, like, we waited for dinner and we had dinner, I used it 3 times because it was so low.
You just kept going back for more. What was the best aspect of it?
My glasses, so I kept kind of just pushing buttons. So you kind of got everything going on there. You got your butt cleaning, your warmer, the toilet warmer. It was wonderful.
But if you're a guy, don't push the button that says Caitlin.
Might be a big mistake.
It's bad.
You can try it at Morimoto's.
Yeah.
Would you call it a pleasant toilet experience?
I do. It's wonderful. If I had $4,000, I would definitely invest in it.
Wow. Okay.
Okay, thanks.
Because you do listen. How much time would you say do you spend? I mean, when you're in the bathroom and you're, will you sit and read and play games?
I'll do a little crossword puzzle and hang out for a little while.
When the pins and needles start to set in, it's like, okay.
How long till pins and needles for you usually?
10 minutes?
10 minutes.
2 hours.
So I have a, there is the heater in my I have my own bathroom now, and it's right in front of me, which is nice. And there's a little shelf for my iPad and my whole thing, and it's now something that occasionally is like, I think I'll sit down to pee.
You have a shelf?
It's a shelf right,
directly across from you,
right in front of me.
That's great.
Yeah. So I can put. I literally, it's right at keyboard's height, and my iPad. I put it up there, and I
even
do
a foldable one, something that will whoop.
I do some work on the toilet here in the morning. Sometimes I did this morning.
Yes,
I go and I take my prep work and I go
pull
and
the flounder out.
Highlight and I take no flounder. Okay. We're out of flounder. That was only one day that I needed that, and it worked.
And this is why there's a multi-million, perhaps billion-dollar. It's a global thing. It's what we all do at some point or another, and it's a part of our day.
Yeah.
In fact, if you saw the movie Why Him,
yes,
the
the
Bryan Cranston,
right,
and Franco,
they end up developing a special toilet.
Huh.
Well, I think a lot of times we sort of take for granted how important a toilet and a decent toilet is in our lives.
I agree.
God damn it.
Thank you for coming today. I'm Casey, and this is my TED Talk.
The downstairs toilet I had in my old house was not that great. It was a toilet that was a necessary toilet for that space because it was kind of crammed into...
It was
like
an octagon.
Well, no, but it was smaller.
Okay.
It was smaller because it had to be, because that's where the, you know... Downstairs, it was at ground level, so it was really tough to move that plumbing. So the toilet kind of had to stay where it was.
Yep.
And as a result, we had to make it smaller, and I didn't really care for that. I was at another toilet that, unfortunately,
second toilet.
Oh my God. Well, all right. When you make a deposit,
yes,
when a you round deposit,
yeah. When you go pooping.
The problem is there the shelving is too close to the drop zone, and therefore
I understand
residue stays on the porcelain for too long.
All right, I know this is so. I know Bill wants to kill himself with this conversation, but that is a design flaw of some toilets.
Major design flaw.
It is a major design flaw,
right?
And I agree wholeheartedly.
The cavern needs to be deep.
I keep my toilet spick and span because I have the little Clorox things, Kathy,
yeah,
that you put on the end of the wand and you clean it out, and then I have these two little things that my wife just got. It's like little. Like rubbery kind of, like you kind of squirt it and it solidifies on the base of the bottom of the toilet. You know what I'm talking about?
Yeah, you know what? I just saw one of those in my friend's toilet.
I thought like a robot had taken a crap in the toilet.
Now we're going to London in a couple of weeks, and you had mentioned, you know, bidets being fairly standard in Europe and hotels and stuff like that. They also have some different types of toilets that might make you go, and it depends on where you are.
Have you seen one?
Yeah, there was one that we used, and I think it might have been the first time that we went to Sweden, that it's a, there's a bowl part, okay,
yes,
that has no liquid in it at all, and it's very shallow. It's not far from your butt.
Yeah.
And then past that is a deeper, it's like almost like a shaft that drops down. And so
you're just talking about shaft.
When you go, it just lands on that dry,
okay,
spot.
Huh.
Yeah, right, exactly. Yeah. And then when you hit the button, this water shoots out and washes it away, so down into the canal.
What you just described is what Casey and I are not fans of in toilet design.
Steve, it was like crapping on a plate.
Yeah. I do not like that.
It was very weird.
If I'm going to crap on a plate, I'm going to do it in my kitchen. You know,
no,
what I'm
going to do it because someone's paying me to do it.
Okay. May as well get some out of it.
Come on. Crap on this plate. Let me go get the Lennox.
$50 each.
Yeah.
The flushable Clorox wands that you mentioned, I use those as well. They say flushable on the thing, aren't
I
they?
I don't.
Okay.
I have, you fish them out after you clean? No, what I do is here's what happens, and they're really good.
Yeah.
You click it down at the end of the wand.
Right.
You clean around inside the toilet. You flush the toilet, and then you push it again just to get the residual water. And I have a garbage can that has a closable lid with an antiseptic plastic bag in it, and I put it into that. You can push it down with the wand, and you just disconnect it.
Yeah, you have the little button on the wand. Yeah,
okay.
Yep. All right. I've let them in, but they don't always flush down properly.
I never trust anything, because we learned that whole bull crap about flushing sanitary napkins and all that crap is not true.
Best not to do it. Even the flushable baby wipes.
Don't screw it.
Yep.
My friend who works for a custom home builder, and they build very large mansion houses.
They're building that giant one by me right now?
Yeah, they're building
for the mansion people.
She just texted me, and she said that they install those toilets with the front and back wash and warmer. She said all the time.
Sure.
It's pretty much like standard in the houses that they build.
If you've got FU money, then that's just going to be your toilet.
So if you are, some people have difficulty in that part of their day with that function, that bodily function. If you make an investment in something that's going to make it easier and more pleasant for you, it would be well worth the expenditure.
We do have to take a break here. I just have a quick question for you, Preston. Are you still
a
member?
Plate?
Do you have a plate? And $50?
I got $50.
I got a plate and $50. How much time do you got?
Because it is time right now. No, do you still belong to that? Is it Buyers Direct or what was that called?
Yes. No, no.
No? All right. Do you?
We do, yes.
Okay. Maybe fancy dancy toilet is on there.
Do you know what? It could be. Stuff that's a little bit more on the tech side is you don't always get a good deal.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right, interesting. Well, don't put toilet paper on your boobs. Or not toilet paper.
Toothpaste.
Or that, or paper.
You put toilet paper when you're packing a flounder.
Right.
If we've learned anything.
We've learned a whole bunch of
stuff.
We've
learned a lot.
We need to take a break. We need to clear the phone lines. Thank you, guys. I apologize if I didn't get your call if you've been on hold for a while. But I would like to give away right now to call number 20, Solo, A Star Wars Story on Blu-ray. I bet their toilets are awesome.
Oh, my God.
215-263-WMMR. It's available now on digitally and on 4K Ultra HD, Blu-ray, DVD, and on-demand. So give us a call right now. Caller 20, you get it. We're going to come back into the Bizarre File, and then we begin our list of guests who are going to be joining us. So be right back.
MMR was pretty humbled when the biggest hard rock band on the planet said yes to playing our final big birthday concert event. Okay, maybe not humbled. More like ecstatic. The MMR 50th finale with Metallica. October 25th, we blow out the 50 candles on our cake and blow the roof off the Wells Fargo Center. We begin our 50-day march to Metallica. Every day, you can win the coolest Metallica treasures, CDs, concert posters, collectible vinyl, and tickets. Grand prize, meet the band and take home a custom Metallica Yeti cooler. It's MMR's 50th finale with Metallica. On sale now at WellsFargoCenterPhilly.com.
And I knew we needed some rockin' music to bring him on. He is a rock star, isn't he?
He really is.
Yeah. And you're going to want to stop by because there's a new menu here in Philadelphia that he is responsible for. And we'll get the details from him. Ladies and gentlemen, our buddy Guy Fieri.
Hey!
What's up, Guy?
How are you crazy people doing?
Dude, we're awesome. How are you?
Well, I'm good. I'm in Philly for a little visit to check out the restaurant over at Harrah's, and they wouldn't let me come to the station today.
That's what we heard. We heard that if you came to the station, you'd probably stay here all day, and you wouldn't be able to get to the other commitments that you have for the day.
And you know that's what happened last year. I come there. I'm hanging out with you guys. We're eating. We're talking. I'm listening to other people's interviews. I mean, it was a total party. And by the time we got back through traffic, everybody's like, other seven news agencies have left already. I'm like, uh-oh.
Well, so you think these handlers have your best interest at heart? Or is it, is there a potential battle now between? Because we know you'd prefer to be here, but is this set something horrible in motion?
Well, I think that everybody knows where my loyalty lies. I mean, even before I had a restaurant here in town, I was coming to hang out with you folks. Although I still haven't seen you in California, but that's another topic.
Yes, I know. Well, we are now getting out and about and taking the show on the road to far-flung places, including London at the end of this month. So this is now more on the table than it's ever been.
Yes.
Well, I think that we have a great spot up in Northern California, up in the wine country. I think that I'll be able to host your cavalcade of craziness. So you just tell me when it's time, and I'm down. And did the food arrive yet? I sent somebody. I came here to the restaurant literally at 6 o'clock this morning.
Really? Are you kidding? No, not a damn thing.
Not a thing.
I'm sure it's on its way, though.
We'll freak the F out if there's food that's meant for us and some slob is eating it right now.
When you said that, everyone's head popped up.
Like, oh. No, I think that there's three production assistants sitting out in the parking lot right now with a 12-pack, and you guys aren't having any.
Hey, we're stealing food from our sister station, so if we have stuff, we definitely want it.
Most definitely. All right, so you're in town mainly to promote the fact you guys have a new menu at the kitchen and bar at Harrah's?
Yeah, you know what? We just try to always keep the water flowing through the pond. We want to make sure that we're just bringing some new ideas. And, you know, we've got a lot of great fans that come into the restaurant and have their favorites, like the bacon mac and cheeseburger, which I think I sent you one. But we started a new one called the Philly Burger. We take what you love about a Philly cheesesteak. We put it on a guy-style burger. We have another dish called the Chicken Parmaroni. So we take chicken parmesan, which, of course, I think is, you know, a staple in my family. And we cook it in a little bit of pepperoni fat, and then we crumble fried pepperoni on top of it. So, you know, it's really what I've been cooking at home and things that I'm making when I'm, you know, taking care of my family. And then we just start rolling it into the restaurant. So,
see, therein lies the thing. Because sometimes people will do, like, they'll do these hybrid sandwiches. And you're like, man. And some places have just, like, said, oh, well, slap this with this. But you're saying these have been tested at the Fieri household.
Oh, yeah. The kids, my family will lay it down for me real clearly whether or not this is a winner or a loser. And the way we laugh about it is I'll say to my mom, I'll say, hey, Mom, you know, I've got some, so there's some leftover, because they live right next door. I said, do you want me to package that to go? You want to take that to go? She goes, no, I think we're going to be okay, honey. And I know, like, okay, that was back to the drawing board.
Yeah, no, we're good. It wasn't that good. So cool. So you're changing up the menu. It's a lot of... it's fun food, but we know that whatever you do, it's a very hearty meal. Do you enjoy doing this? Do you enjoy doing the refurbs on the menu?
If I didn't, it would be like, thank you, by the way, for the intro music, because that was awesome. But it would be like AC/DC only making Back in Black.
Yeah, you know? Yeah.
I mean, granted, we would all love just Back in Black, but the truth of it as a chef is, I mean, this is what I'm doing. I'm thinking about food every morning. I mean, we're talking about, you know, how to do this, how to make it better. We have a new concept that we're coming out with, and hopefully will be nationwide soon, called Chicken Guy, where we do fried chicken tenders with 22 different sauces. And people are like, well, why would you, you know, what is the thing? Chicken tenders are boring. 22 sauces are exciting. Mm-hmm. So, no, that's all I'm doing is thinking what? About food. Just like you. All you're thinking about is crazy stuff to do and talk about on the show.
Right.
I'm doing the same thing with food.
Let me ask you something. My wife and I picked up an air fryer recently because it's all the rage. Where do you stand on the air fryer?
On the air fryer. You know what? I haven't used one. I'm not a real gadgety guy. I do believe, like, for instance, when we cook our chicken tenders in Chicken Guys, we use what's called a pressure fryer. So we're pressurizing and frying, and it makes it a real clean fry. So I think that's kind of what they're getting after with the air fryer.
I think it is.
But I will tell you what the rave is that multi-purpose Instapot that's part, you know, the pressure cooker and
yes.
so forth. That's getting some acclaim. So I'll get back to you on the air fryer. I don't know that this turned into a Consumer Reports edition, but
well, because fried chicken is sort of, we love fried chicken, but it's a tough nut because, you know, it's high in calories a lot of times, and it's There's, you know, you have chicken, which is, you know, solid, but there's these issues. If you love fried chicken, you love it, but if you could have a little bit more of a latitude to eat it, that'd be great. That's why I was asking about the air fryer.
Well, you know, I'll tell you something. Next time you're making fried chicken, you want fried chicken, but you don't want the calories and you don't have the gym membership to back it up.
Right.
Take the chicken tender, brine it in a little buttermilk.
Yep.
Powder, you know, hit it in a little bit of flour, little egg wash, panko breadcrumbs, and then cook it in the oven. The breadcrumbs will really give you it's kind of a good cheat on how to make a fried, crunchy, flavored chicken tender without frying it. And the panko breadcrumbs will help you do that.
Awesome.
Now there's cooking tips. There's cooking tips. There's travel guide recommendations.
You're giving us everything. Yeah, it's awesome.
Yeah, Guy, how do you think about another kind of rage lately? Although it's been around for a long time. Is brining and pickle juice chicken, and I think that's yummy as hell.
Well, I wouldn't say that I'm the guy that's doing that. Of course, I am.
Yeah.
That's absolutely one of the ingredients at Chicken Guy.
Okay.
That we do is brining it, and actually we use that. The same recipe that we're doing at Chicken Guy that I was telling you it's going to roll out is the same recipe that we do here at Guy's Philly, you know, over at the Harrah's Casino.
Yeah.
That's the same recipe. So if you want to try it before it comes out in the chain restaurant, you can check it out here. It's dynamite, and we make
awesome.
All our own sauces and that whole giddy up. But
yep.
I think, have you guys been down here, by the way?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Oh, God, yeah. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
A party. Do I need to invite the whole station down for lunch and cocktails and...
Dude, I like the way you think.
Yeah, yeah. No, we're totally down with that. Harrah's is Harrah's is awesome.
By the way, you've got, man, you have over 60 restaurants under your ownership. How do you handle all that, Guy? You've got to have an amazing staff that you trust.
You know what? You got to have a real good team of people. We just opened down in Costa Rica. We opened Guy's Burger Joint down there, and we're open. As I said, we just opened Chicken Guy over at Disney Springs in Orlando. So
do you let some of your chefs do a little R&D as well?
Oh, absolutely.
Okay.
Well, it's like your show. I mean, I think everybody just thinks that things just magically appear. I mean, I've been to your show for so many years now. Mm-hmm. I know the team, and everybody is working on their subject matter and their ideas and doing the background on it. Listen, to be a great quarterback, you have got to surround yourself with a bunch of great players. Otherwise, you're getting sacked and you're not throwing touchdowns.
Yep.
And I think that you guys are a perfect example of that. So, yeah, without question, it's having the super team around me that makes it look easy.
Right, it's cool, man. It's awesome, man. And the stuff, you know, the food is just great.
Hey, has the food arrived yet?
No.
We're waiting on it. Hey, are you doing any appearances? I mean, are you going to be at the restaurant today for people to come by and say hi, or is it just all business?
You know what? It's just business. I flew in last night, actually. Came to the restaurant, had the big party. Going up to Foxwoods this afternoon. I've got another restaurant up there. Going to hit the game tonight.
Jesus.
My boy Jules Edelman's back in. Then we're down to AC tomorrow. We've got a big party going. I don't know if you guys are doing anything for the weekend. We'll come down to AC and hang out. And we're doing a big gig down there at our restaurant. At the Chop House, and then back to California for one of my buddy's weddings.
Yeah, life is good, man. What about TV? What do you have coming up? What projects?
You know what? Opening a bunch of those Chicken Guys. That's that's the big piece. We've got going back into the studio for Guys Grocery Games, which I would love to have you come out and check that out.
Yeah,
we're going to be shooting that for 5 weeks. Little projects here and there. Just trying to do as much time with the kids, and my son Hunter's a senior at UNLV. So he's ready to break out and jump onto the knuckle sandwich team. So it's a whirlwind right now, man. Hey. From the last time I saw you guys, it seems like it was yesterday. It hasn't changed one bit. It's only got louder.
By the way, I have good news. The food just arrived.
Yeah.
Marissa's bringing it into the studio as we speak.
Awesome.
We're going to dive into that when we get off the phone with you here. All right, buddy?
Well, you guys are great. I'm sorry I didn't make it over, but this has been a long... I knew after last year, I'm like, there's no way they're letting me go. And I argued for it, but I figured I'd set the food. We got to have a nice chit-chat. And anytime you guys... anytime I can help out, you know I'm always game.
Well, speaking of which, and I know this is a tall order, but I'm going to say it anyway because you're totally invested into this community. We do this thing every year. It's going to be our 21st year, I think, doing it. It's called our Camp Out for Hunger. And it is the single largest food drive in the country. And we started the Monday after Thanksgiving. And, Robert Irvine has been involved with us in years past. We broadcast our show from a parking lot. Preston and Steve sleep in the parking lot all week long. We've raised over 1 million pounds of food last year.
It's 1.6 million.
Yep. So if you... if you're torn, or if you can talk to your promotional people and make it a point to get through Atlantic City and Philadelphia the week after Thanksgiving, we would love to have you out there.
If I can make it, or if I can't make it, you can expect my contribution. I am all about supporting our community. You know, we just had those terrible wildfires in Northern California.
Yeah.
Last year, ripped through the town that I live in, Santa Rosa, and then just recently we had them up in Redding. And I'll tell you something, it's our communities that keep us going, and you sometimes don't know it until you're in the middle of it. But listen, I'm a member of the Philly community, and I appreciate all the support that I get here at the restaurant. So you can absolutely, if I can't make it, you will see my support in one shape or form or another.
I love awesome. That. Excellent. All right, Guy, always great to talk to you, man. Enjoy your crazy ass next couple of days, and we'll talk to you soon. All right, bud.
Go to a long commercial and enjoy the food.
All right. Thank you, buddy. I appreciate it. All right, Guy Fieri.
Yeah.
Take care, my man. And don't forget to head to Harrah's and check out their new menu at Guy Fieri's Kitchen and Bar. He's awesome, man.
What'd he send over?
There's some hot wings, which I just had one. Very tasty, Steve. Not crazy, blow your head off hot. With a special, vinegar-based sauce on it.
I think these are beef brisket tacos with corn tortillas. Would you like one of those?
We go to commercial. All right. I will definitely indulge. Right, Thank you.
We got to do the Bizarre File, so let's do that.
Now, Bizarre. WMMR presents Bizarre. Kristen and Steve's Bizarre File.
All right, this morning it's brought to you by French Creek Outfitters in Phoenixville. With everything you need for the great outdoors and beyond, all the big name brands, they have them. Visit FrenchCreekOutfitters.com for additional information. French Creek Outfitters. Why take a chance with anybody else? A horny couple in the UK got frisky in a photo booth, and unfortunately for them, their X-rated pictures were left on display after they finished. The guy and his girlfriend posed for 4 passport-style pics after a night of boozing it up at an indoor golf center. After drawing the curtain, she flopped her boobs out for him to squeeze before unzipping him, and then she stuck her tongue out next to his exposed manhood, before finishing off with a passionate kiss.
The photos are hilarious, and they clearly didn't realize that there was a display outside the booth showing the pictures.
Yeah, so they just thought the photos were going to be printed up
and take them with them.
So they grabbed the photos, and then the images automatically popped up on the booth screen, which was seen by passersby. I guess they left and didn't realize that they
were
off.
Yeah, they had no idea.
So they had apparently given the visitors an eyeful at Mr. Mulligan's Lost World Golf.
Why they're there to take these pictures, but anytime you've passed one of these booths now, they all have a review screen outside the booth.
Yeah, they've
so you need to pick the pictures you want.
They've advanced to that now. So one person who saw it said the couple had just finished 18 holes, and it's fair to say they went for the 19th. I was drinking with my mates nearby, and they were very giggly when they came out all over each other. Their faces told us that they had been up to something. We had a cheeky look knowing photos of the previous users pop up. The witness went back a few days later, and staff admitted that they had reset the machine to clear the picture, so they no longer exist. Yeah, right.
Yeah.
A trucking company employee in Western Pennsylvania is accused of funneling nearly $400,000 in customer payments into his personal bank account, and investigators say he blew the money on strippers and hockey tickets.
Of course.
Among some other splurges. 29-year-old James R. Perry Jr., this is near Pittsburgh, was arrested Monday on theft and other charges. Perry was the director of credit and collections billing and settlement with R&R Express Trucking Company, where the alleged funneled money to himself dated back to April 2015 to the tune of about $373,000.
In my defense, I used it on strippers and hockey tickets.
According to court papers, company and financial records show customers would send their credit card payments to them, and Perry would use a computer program to process the payments and redirect them into his personal checking account.
He's going to beat the system.
Officials at the Allegheny County company finally discovered the scheme in July, promoting the police investigation. Still, the company may not have much hope of recovering those funds, as investigators said that Perry spent the money on strip clubs, adult entertainment, tickets to Pirates and Penguins games, casinos, jewelry, and other extravagances.
They're the people that do this. Do they know the clock is ticking, or is the hubris so staggering that they think they won't be caught?
I wonder if some people, maybe don't get caught, but it would be in the absolute minority if that were the case.
And he's in the hundreds of thousands.
Hundreds of thousands of dollars. The case was set at $10,000, by the way. This is horrible. The owner of the Florence Bowling Alley was killed Sunday after getting caught inside the bowling pin-setting machine.
Oh. Jesus Christ.
I have a fear of those things. I don't know why.
Well, because they're big, mechanical, Metropolis Skynet-looking things.
I mean, I for some reason, I've always, as a kid, I had a fear of accidentally sliding in there, and then it comes down and just
clamps, rips you apart.
Cuts you into pieces.
Makes love to your wife.
Well, it's also a machine that doesn't,
it's a mindless machine created for the torture and enslavement of the millions.
Authorities from fire... That was Terminator, wasn't
yes.
it? Yeah. Authorities from fire and rescue were dispatched to the bowling alley around 1:30 for reports of a person stuck in the machine. Ugh.
You know how they found out, Preston? Somebody went to go bowl their round. They stuck their fingers down into the holes. It was someone's nose.
Oh.
Head had been ripped clean off.
The victim was unconscious and not breathing when officers arrived. The dead man was 65-year-old Hector Rodriguez, the owner of the bowling alley. That's terrible, man.
I'm wondering when the conversion made to the machines from the old-time pin boys.
Yeah, I don't know. All right, and then let's just do one more story, and we will wrap things up. This one is really weird. A former Southern Oregon property owner has been charged with assault on a federal officer after authorities say an FBI agent sent to the property was shot from a booby-trapped wheelchair.
What the hell?
And listen to this setup. Officers responded to the home at the request of a real estate lawyer tasked with selling the property. Now, officers found traps throughout the property, from spike strips to a circular hot tub turned on its side and rigged to roll over anyone who triggered a tripwire. They said it was much like the scene from Indiana Jones, Raiders of the Lost Ark, where Harrison Ford is forced to outrun a giant stone boulder. This is a huge hot tub that would have rolled over someone.
Who set this up?
The complaint had said after making it past the hot tub, according to the complaint, a bomb squad.
Hot tubs. I hate hot tubs.
An FBI agent approached the property's manufactured home and blasted open the fortified front door. Inside the home, a wheelchair outfitted with a fishing line, shotgun ammunition, and other items got pushed and triggered the explosion that wounded the agent. An X-ray found a 410-gauge shotgun pellet in the agent's leg. Authorities said the makeshift weapons were created by 66-year-old Gregory Rodveld, who was forced to forfeit his property as part of an elder abuse case involving his mother. Rodveld currently is in county jail, where he is in the midst of an assault trial in a separate case related to an alleged armed standoff. So this dude's a nut job.
Oh, so then I was just beating her and taking her Social Security, and they freaked out.
Wow. That is just wild, man. All right, and there you go. That's what I have for you in the Bizarre File this morning. We're going to take a break, but not before I give away some movie passes. We got a screening of Goosebumps 2.
Goosebumps.
Goosebumps. Family 4-pack to give away. Kathy is going to be at the screening, and this will be Wednesday, October 10th at 6:30 p.m. UA King of Prussia. So you need to be there no later than 6, so it's a little bit on the earlier side. Take the kids with you. And I will take 1, 2, 3. I'll take 5 calls at 215-263-WMMR. So this is for next Wednesday to join Kathy, and we'll get you on board for that. We're going to take a quick break, and Tim Dillon, who's going to be at Helium Comedy Club, is going to be joining us next. And we still have several guests to go this morning. Back in just a little bit.
Now, more with Preston and Steve on 93.3 WMMR.
Come our next guest, who's going to be at Helium Comedy Club tonight and then through the weekend. This is Tim Dillon.
Yeah. Thank you so much. Thank you for having me. That traffic report was horrific. Everything was heavy.
Yes, it's always
everything.
Heavy. Yeah,
heavy heavy there.
Here, everything.
Jammed. There's not one road that's working.
Yeah. And even not that well, that one road.
Stay home.
We were talking prior to coming on air, and you're from Long Island in New York.
Yeah, from Long Island, grew up there.
And we've, on the show, we've both referenced the severity and the nightmare that is the Bell Parkway. Yeah. I need you to confirm that when we say this on the air, this is the truth.
My father's blamed the Bell Parkway for why he didn't have a better job. You know, he told my mother, he's like, I'd have a better job, we'd have a better house and more money, but I can't do it because it's the worst parkway. To avoid that, people will go to all kinds of lengths. It is crazy. Like, every year it makes the list of, like, the top 10 parkways in terms of accidents and fatalities. And that's included in that list is, like, lawless countries, nomadic tribal countries where people are poachers stabbing elephants. Like, that the Bell Parkway always makes that list.
It's true. And yet people think it's an apocryphal thing when we go off on. No, it is. Yeah. It is.
No,
every,
it's real.
It every bit as horrible as we say. I've been familiar with you, and I've enjoyed your stuff for a while. And then I'm doing some reading on you. Last night, I was not aware of your story. You have a hell of a story. It's at the top of your Twitter page. You talk about it.
Yeah.
Lead us through the early, if you wouldn't mind.
You talk about being a child actor.
Yes.
My white trash parents from Long Island thought that I was going to be their retirement plan. So they took me out. I was a great looking kid. When I was 7, I was like one of the kids where, you know, I was like, you look at me and you go, oh, that kid should be on TV.
Haley Joel Osment. Yeah.
Sure.
Yeah.
A little better. To be honest. Yeah, he did better.
Yeah, you know,
sure.
you want to be petty, but sure.
So my parents took me out to, you know, detergent commercials, and I spent years trying to be like, oh, isn't this soft? And and I tried out for a lot of stuff, and I booked nothing. Like, I didn't get anything. I came close, very close.
Your mom was a bit of a stage mom. You describe her as schizophrenic.
She was kind of a stage mom, but not enough of one to make her successful. So there was a lot of failure, and Penn Station is the station where you go back to Long Island from New York City.
Oh, yeah.
There was a lot of me eating Dairy Queen Blizzard. You know, having her be like, well, she'd be like, how did you do it in the audition? I tell her how I did the line.
Yeah,
and she goes, well, you're not getting that. So you want a blizzard? And that was the weight problem began at 7.
Oh,
just kind of diving into there. But yeah, no, nothing ever. Sesame Street once.
Once, really?
It was a cool thing. But
what was your scene on Sesame Street?
I did the polka with Snuffleupagus. It's public television, so you get paid $13. My parents thought I would land like a national commercial. $50,000.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Put a second edition on the house. None of that happened.
But you say you'd like to get back to acting at some point.
I mean, right. I'd like to do. Every now and then they bring me in for a role. Like, I try to, you know, but it's never, you know, it's always like, you know, a minor thing, you know, like a bloated body in the river or like a minor, you know what I mean?
That's not flattering.
Stock worker, ferry worker.
Right,
there are a couple of guys out there that are successful I'll call them like TV show makers, like Brian Koppelman's one. He does billions.
Right.
He loves stand-up comedy.
He does.
And also,
a friend of mine is on that show.
Dan Soder, who's great.
Tall, good-looking guy. Yeah. He's a guy that would believably work in an office where the show is called Billions. Right? I cannot. Like, there's no version of that show. Unless that show were to take place on the Staten Island Ferry, yeah. There's no version of that show where I am put in place of, you know.
Could you be on 100,000s?
Yeah. Okay. You know, to be honest with you, probably not.
But Big J. Okerson played a drug dealer on that show. So
we're now going more in the direction where I would be.
Where you'd be comfortable.
Yeah, I'm like Crooked Cop. I'm between Bond Trader and drug dealer.
Right, but the other one I was going to say is Vince Gilligan.
Breaking Bad.
Yeah, Better Call Saul. He puts stand-up comedians in his show all the time.
Yeah, absolutely.
I think you guys, comedians as a whole, and I've said it, it's kind of been the long-standing axiom, and I believe it's true. Comedians, you know, stand-up comedians can transition easier into acting than the other way around.
Nobody wants an actor unless they're really good at it doing stand-up. Because stand-up takes a lot of work to do.
And in fact, any movie that's tried to, like Punchline's is a fun film, but you can tell. I mean, mind you, Dustin Hoffman's one of the greatest actors of all time. He's doing Lenny Bruce. But still, it's just not, it doesn't quite hit right.
It's different.
When you see actors portraying stand-up comedians on stage is way different. And then, like, I've watched your act. I've seen your act on YouTube. And then I watched, you know, Netflix specials. In fact, I was watching Rogan last night. And when you see that, like, I mean, essentially you guys are acting. You're up there on stage. Yeah. And you're portraying a character that is, you know, sort of parallel to who you really are.
Right.
So that's why I think that transition is so natural.
We're like
for a
an exaggerated version of ourselves. So I think when you, especially if the role is something close to you, like if it's something that's in the arena of what you kind of are, which is what people want. Like, nobody wants me to play something that's completely different from what, people want me to be some version of myself.
Right.
And then if you could do that, then it's good.
Yeah, it's like we say on the air where we're about 10 to 15% above ourselves.
Yeah.
Because
if you turn on a TV show, you want me to be like a football coach who punches a kid.
Exactly.
You know what I mean?
An abusive football coach.
Oh, okay.
That guy.
Yeah. You want me to be a cop who's taking drug money. Something that I would believably do in real life.
And I bet you'd be good, like Artie Lang, for example.
Artie Lang would be great.
Solid
I brought
act.
Artie on stage the other night, and he said, give it up for Tim Dillon, my personal trainer.
That's a good line.
Artie's great. I want to ask you about your
audience was terrified.
Oh, really? Your tour bus days.
Yeah. I was a tour guide in New York City on a double-decker bus, and I was very bad at the job. And
Was that good, though, for
it's great for stand-up. It's bad for people that wanted facts about New York. It was very negative for people that wanted to learn.
Legitimate information.
Because I would pass the Empire State Building and I wouldn't say anything. I would just talk about my roommate or something that I was angry about that day.
And it's kind of hard to omit the Empire State Building when you're passing by.
It's easier than you think when you don't have a boss. Because there's no oversight. It's just you and confused Norwegians on a bus through Midtown Manhattan. So it's like, I'll cover what I want to cover.
Give us a percentage of how much actual accurate information was imparted.
15%. You know?
What was the best lie you made up that you can remember?
We were in traffic one day in the winter, and this is true, and this is one of the things I'm more ashamed about. I had a bunch of tourists there, and they wanted to see the 9/11 memorial, and we were never going to get downtown to see it. I knew that for a fact. So there was this really weird sculpted mountain of snow by Central Park.
Oh, no.
And I just said, there's the 9/11 memorial. And they all just kind of nodded and were like, okay. It was beautiful. It represents the coldness of the act, you know. I don't know what.
Did they know?
It depends what country people are from. But like, if you had a bus full of Saudi Arabians, there was traffic, you could always just blame it on Jews. They'd be like, well, of course. You know, so you could encourage
It's reading
people.
The crowd.
Yeah. If you had Israelis and Palestinian kids, you could encourage them to fight. You got to have fun. I'm bored.
You got fired, I assume, or you quit?
No, I was in a union. It was very hard to get fired.
Okay.
Nobody would show up to testify. Like, they'd be like, they said you did this, but they got to make flight to JFK. They're not going to show up to my hearing. Nobody's flying back into New York to get the tour guide fired. where like nobody hated it that much.
So you do do you do a tour?
I do it as a show now.
As a show. Yeah. I love this idea.
Yeah, it's fun. We just we sell tickets to it. If you're in New York City,
how often do you book those?
We started doing it about 2 years ago because I would actually, it was weird. I missed, like, obviously in comedy you want to get rid of your day job, but when I got rid of it, I kind of missed it.
Yeah, yeah.
In a weird way. I didn't want to have to do it every day. Like, every now and then you'd see a bus and, like, this captive audience of people that can't go anywhere. And,
yeah.
You know, somebody, and I was just like, I wish I could kind of get on there and yell at them. And so I said, we're going to do it as a show, and we sell tickets to it. People buy tickets. There's about 60 seats up.
That's a great idea.
And we take it to New York City, and I talk about, you know, money laundering and human trafficking and all the fun stuff that you can't really discuss.
Those are the tours I love. I love, like, for example, there's tons of historical tours in Philadelphia.
Yeah.
But the haunted paranormal tours, like the crazy, weird stuff.
Is Philly haunted even though?
Yeah.
I don't, it doesn't strike me. So, like, New Orleans strikes me as haunted.
Yeah.
Really, it just seems like some guy is really shoehorning that into Philly.
Well, when you're
there's a lot of ghosts.
Yeah. Now, some of the squares in town are actually Potter's Fields. There's thousands of people buried underneath these parks.
Yeah.
Okay. Interesting.
Yeah.
So there you go. I think it gets very defensive. It's like, the haunted tour is legit.
Damn
shut
straight.
Your mouth. You will see dead people.
That's true.
He's invested.
Yeah,
he's like, don't.
Don't screw with our haunted tour. You're a foodie.
Yeah.
And you're a fan of frozen yogurt.
I'm a fan of everything. I mean, I'm a big ice cream guy, but, you know, frozen yogurt is one of those things where it's amazing because you are tricked into thinking it's kind of healthy, and then you end up almost killing yourself every time.
I think it's unfairly denigrated. Listen, there's no two ways about it. It's not ice cream.
It's not.
But in its own category.
It's not food. And it's a chemical.
It's a chemical.
It's great. I mean, there's so many versions of it. And but the problem is you go into those places, you're like, I'll just get something with strawberries. And then you leave. It's like the things on your yogurt you've never even seen. It's like chocolate covered insoles, you know, dipped in peanut butter, and then you just eat it in your car, and they're always next to gyms, and you watch people walk out of a gym, and you're eating like this devil's cereal you've made out of cookie dough and peanut butter cocktails, 1 ounce of yogurt.
Yeah, yeah.
It's disgusting.
It is disgusting.
I love it, you know?
What I love is that as you go through, there's a place like in Manion called World Peace, and you go in and you get your various toppings. I'm just going to get a small thing. You're done,
and they
it's
weigh
$150
right?
bucks.
They weigh it, and you're like, wait a minute, why did
I don't even think that's a real scale. I think they're trained to see how fat and desperate you look. Like, I think they size you up. They look at me, they're like, you'll pay $23 for this. I'm already eating it. I'm like, oh, I think that's more what it is.
Wow.
The scale doesn't even make sense.
No, because
you don't see the numbers going up. You just put it on the scale and it goes, $30. And you're like, what is the calculation method being used
to determine
the price?
Do you think there's like a button, like a rigged roulette table?
Yeah. I just think they look at you and they're like, is this the fat guy going to pay this? And you're like, if it's a soccer mom, she'll complain. So it's like, this is $7.
Well,
and she's like, all right.
I took my son and his friend and I let them. I was like, oh, this is cool. They can, like, you know.
Forget it.
I walked out. It was like $50.
Well, because the kids load. The thing is, they load it with toppings and those are heavy.
They are heavy. Stupid toppings, too, by the way.
Like he's saying.
Gummy bears.
Gummy bears.
Things that don't even belong on yogurt.
No.
There's a place in New York City, I swear to God, they have just slivers of cheesecake in a bin that you can just put on top of the yogurt.
Honestly, you're not even trying any pretense at all.
That was crazy.
I mean, because you put food on the planet.
Yeah, it's insane.
Yeah, you're putting strawberries on. At least you're saying,
I think they should just have ice cream as a topping. You should go to the topping bar and start scooping real ice cream on top of it because that's the logical equivalent.
That'd be great.
What, you know,
that'd be awesome.
On your yogurt, ice cream,
and
just label it. Who's kidding who?
Yeah, right.
I love it. I love it. What else? I was reading an interview with you, and you were talking
about two of them.
but you were talking about your skill set, and you said you think you'd be a good tent preacher.
I'd be great.
And I was reading that, I'm thinking Sam Kinison was that.
Yeah,
Sam Kinison came from that.
I'm fascinated by all that stuff.
I love it too.
Yeah.
Fascinated by cults and things like that?
I love all of that stuff.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, and I think that's the direction I'm headed. an idea of just a sweaty guy getting up in Louisiana in a tent and talking and just, it goes back to tour guide. It goes back to, like, there's
it's
a group
the same
of people
thing.
And I just want to move them in some way to do something. Drink poison, whatever they want, you know?
I have a great plot of land down in...
It's one of those things where I'm like, if I wasn't a comic, what could I do? Like, obviously, I'm not going to be on Billy. I'm not going to be trading bonds.
Right.
What could I do? Tent preacher.
Well, because it also it appeals to the ability. Can I incite people? Can I move people to do something?
Yeah.
And so Kinison's stories were always great about that. And he said as a small town politician.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah, like a very corrupt politician. I mean, the thing now is a lot of people, they don't even want comedy. They just want to get whipped into a rage.
Yeah, yeah.
They're like, dude, can I just be in a, that's why they go online and they're like, I just want to be in a frothing rage. I know I've worked for 10 hours, but is there anyone out there that could direct my anger into a militant rage that then I can get it all out of my system and then wake up the next day and, you know, go wherever.
It's funny you mention that because we're going to have Ike Barinholtz in the studio in a little bit. He has a movie out called The Oath, which deals exactly with that.
Yeah.
He's in the 24-hour news cycle all the time. He's getting his text updates. And the people that everyone is enraged about this.
Everybody's
angry. And they don't know how to just calm the F down.
Everybody's angry.
Yeah.
I woke up this morning. It was early. And you go on Twitter and the first thing you read is somebody who's just, I swear to God, the first tweet I read, I was laying in the bed. Yeah. The first tweet I read was, prepare for civil war. I was like, whoa.
Wow.
Okay.
Well, I saw your comment
chilling.
And Casey brought it up too, but on Rogan's special, and the point that cracked me up was that you said comedy can be funny.
It can be.
Yes.
It should be. I caught you a few times on Red Eye, and that to me that was a fun show.
It was a fun show,
yeah.
And then comics would try to make points on it. Like,
yeah,
I would be like, just have fun. Like, I'd be sitting next to John Bolton, and I'd be like, Tim, what do you think we should do about Syria? I'm like, excuse me?
Do you know why I'm
What do I think you should do about Syria? Like, it's such an insane...
Right.
It's like, if you're at the point where you're asking clowns what to do about foreign policy, we're in real trouble. And that's my whole thing as a comedian. I'm like, I just try to make people laugh. I have views. Some of them come out in the act. But, I really am trying to make people laugh. I have not studied Syria. I have not visited Syria.
You didn't even know about
very little comedy in Syria. Yeah. I don't know the people. I haven't gotten an idea. I'm hoping there are people studying Syria. I'm imagining there are. And none of those people are funny. Nor should they be. Because I bet that takes it out of you. You know? I bet after a good Syria study, you're not as funny. So let them handle that. And they don't all have to agree. Let them fight it out. But, the idea to me of comedy is like, oh, we're going out Friday night. We want to hear what this guy thinks about, politics or everything. It's like, listen, if it's funny, you could obviously anything in the world, anything goes. But to me, it's like, I need to be funny. That's what I'm doing.
Agree 1,000%. Because it should be an outlet. Now, mind if you're going for someone who's specifically political and that's your deal, that's fine.
Great, yeah.
But
the political things you say are funny?
But everyone's hyperbolic and it's kind of wild.
We
try to be sort of the antidote to that because you know where you can go. Like you said, you go to Twitter if you want to hear about
the
Civil
people
War.
Now just get up and they're like, I'm in pain. And you're like, what? I'm in pain. And it's like, okay, all comics, a lot of it comes from pain, but it's like, you have to make it funny.
Yeah, right?
You know, like you have to take it.
Did it take you a while to get to that point where you could, or were you?
I was always kind of a clown, and it got me a point to get good enough where I would then go out and ask people for money. You know, I mean, you do free shows when you start in Long Island in the back of some Italian restaurant. You know,
right?
You'd be like,
yeah.
Well, everybody at Ravioli's, get ready because we got a show for you, and then you just get up and you wouldn't get paid. I mean, you'd just be there. Maybe you get a breadstick, but like you would try to get good, and then you work at it for a long time. And then you get funny enough to go out.
And it pays off. I don't know if this is an apocryphal story, but you were on a jury for a murder trial. And
I was. Yeah, it was the best experience of my life.
Was?
It really was. It was crazy. It's ruined Law and Order, everything for me. Like, it's very hard to watch anything like that anymore because once you've done the real thing.
Yeah.
But I mean, it was before I started comedy. I was 25 and it really it made me, I was working in mortgages. I didn't like my job. I was at sales trying to sell mortgages. There were no mortgages to be sold, by the way.
Yeah.
It was 2010. It was over. You would call somebody and go, would you like a mortgage? It would be 5 minutes of them threatening to kill you.
Right.
And then you hang
that
up
wears
the
you
phone.
Down. Yeah.
And I was excited to get jury duty. I tried to get it. Like, I wanted it. Like, I auditioned for it. When I, most people didn't want it. Like, I went there and I'm like, I gotta get this because I need an out. Like, I need a week to just think.
Right.
Thank God there was this brutal murder. And, and I was like, thank God. You talk about convenient.
Yeah,
you know?
Yeah.
I can't afford a retreat. But
it's true, though.
And then it is what it is.
If the defense attorney sees you as being like...
yeah, well, she saw me and she was like, you know, how could you be impartial with the words murder and torture? And then I was like, well, those are just words. I've seen no evidence. And then she looked at the defendant and the defendant was like, this guy gets it.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, I was a defense pick. They
right, yeah.
Me. That's they looked at me and they went, he'll understand torture.
Yeah.
This guy will get it. He knows you got to do things sometimes.
You know, I've done jury duty a couple of times, Tim, and I found the weirdest part about it is when you're on breaks and you're all in the jury room together and you can't talk about anything.
It's crazy.
That's been going on. You have to find stuff.
You have the stupidest conversations.
Yes.
You'll literally.
For hours.
We sat there and there was a whole testimony that was fascinating.
Yeah.
And we were literally dying to talk about it. You can't, and they just lock you in this little room.
Yeah.
And somebody starts showing pictures of their kid or something.
Yeah, yeah.
You know? And they're like, the other day she walked down the stairs. And you're like, this is not what we want to be doing right now.
Right. We just saw graphic murder scene photos.
We
want to
get into this.
Yeah.
Did you convict the person of murder?
We did. He was very, very guilty. You know, wow. And that's unfortunate. It seemed like he was. I didn't pay a huge amount of attention. you know what I mean? I wasn't. I'm a kind of ADD, so yeah, I was like in and out of it. But
you were working on yourself.
Like
yeah.
He was okay. From, you know, but what I used to do is I'd have little snacks in the jury box. And one time I dropped the thing of Altoids in the middle of this examiner was doing this really crazy thing. About he's like, and he stabbed her in each eye and then Altoids all over the floor. And I just gave one of these shrugs like, what are you going to do? And the defendant started laughing hysterically in the middle of this crazy, you know,
oh my God.
Medical examiner being like, this guy stabbed this woman. And you know, and then he just went,
oh, no.
So like, guilty. They took me outside. They're like, please stop eating chips in the box. Stop. You know what I mean? Whatever you're doing, stop doing it.
I'm surprised they let you. You're not supposed to have food in the jury box, right?
It's Long Island, buddy. Who cares? They probably weren't even lawyers.
Nassau County?
I mean, like, my friend's dad, who I used to get drunk with all the time, just came to the jury every day and sat in the courtroom.
Because you were on the jury?
He was just unemployed and drunk, and he's like, this is a fun story.
Oh, my God.
So he came every day, and then every night we'd go to bars in Long Island, tell the whole bar. We'd be like, here's what happened today.
Oh, my God.
You know, which I think is illegal or something.
It's a little illegal, yeah.
Again, whatever. Yeah. I mean, listen, wow. He's fine. Everyone's fine. Life plus 50, I think. But the idea is... No, he was guilty. Listen, here's the reality. He was very guilty, and he had to go. Wow.
And it helped change your life.
And it, more importantly...
Win-win.
More importantly, it led me to do an open mic at the Tattoo Parlor Coffee House in Merrick, Long Island.
Oh, really?
Where you grew up, called Wild Child.
Wow.
And do a lot of really funny bit about the murder.
Wow.
So... That is, you know, that's what happens, you know?
You got to look
for it. The lesson is you never know where inspiration is
true.
Going to come
never
from.
Know.
So there
you
it
read
is.
About a murder in the paper and you think, ah, that's sad. Guess what? A clown is born.
All right. Well, listen, gang, unfortunately, we got to wrap it up. But Tim's going to be in town all weekend. You can go and see him at Helium Comedy Club tonight, tomorrow, Saturday. There are shows. There's one show at 8 tonight. And then 7:30 and 10 o'clock on Friday and Saturday. We're just going to go to heliumcomedy.com to get the tickets.
Thank you so much, guys.
Thanks for coming here.
Thanks
pleasure.
A lot.
Nice to meet you.
Yeah.
For Tim Dillon, guys, we're going to take a break. And as Steve had mentioned, Ike Barinholtz will be in our studio next. To stay with us. We'll be back in a second.
This 93.3 WMMR audio on demand program returns after a brief word from our sponsors.
Do you want the most important purchase of your life to be based on your negotiating skills? Not the case at Steven Singer Jewelers. You are guaranteed to get the perfect price every day. They make the experience of buying an engagement ring easy with no BS. Check him out at the other corner of 8th and Walnut in Philly or online at IHateStevenSinger.com. Steven Singer Jewelers. One place, one price.
Hey, it's Preston. Listen, when I want to relax, you know that I go to Hand & Stone Massage and Facial Spas. Whether you want a rejuvenating massage or a refreshing facial, Hand & Stone is the place to go. Introductory massage or facial start at just $59.95. Visit handandstone.com or one of their over 50 locations in the Delaware Valley. Restrictions apply. See spa for details.
This is the Preston & Steve Show podcast.
Thank you very much, Kath. You know our next guest from shows like The League and The Mindy Project and movies like Suicide Squad and so on and so forth. But now his directorial debut is coming out on the 12th. And he's here in our studio to talk about that and other things. Ladies and gentlemen, Ike Barinholtz.
Yeah. Yeah. My old friends. How are you guys? It's been a minute.
Dude, yeah.
I talked to you last time on the phone.
Yes.
Here a couple years ago.
Yeah. We're glad to have you back in, especially for this project, which is The Oath.
Yes, sir.
And I saw it.
You saw it.
And I have to say, I go in with, and I love this. I love when this happens. I go in with one set of ideas about what I'm going to see.
Yep.
I don't see that movie.
No.
I'm thinking, oh, here's the heir apparent to Planes, Trains, and Automobiles.
It's the girl from Girls Trip and the guy from Blockers. It's right. Going to be hilarious throughout.
No. But what it turns out to be is something that reminded me of high concept 70s movies. Yes. Where you get uncomfortable.
Yes.
And you start thinking.
Yep.
And so what it is, it is Thanksgiving and Black Friday. Mm-hmm. Set against, there's some political, listen, it's just like now. There's polarized camps and people at each other's throats. Yep. And all this is going on. And 24-hour news cycles out the yin-yang. And the family's getting together for Thanksgiving. Yeah. There is an oath that just is suggested that you sign. And it's I don't want to give too much away, yeah. But the main conceit is family with very differing political opinions getting together for the holidays
and screaming at each other.
Yes. And so as I'm watching it, I'm like, wow, I check the news a lot too.
Yes.
Wow.
Yeah.
I'm a political person. Yeah. I think we probably agree on a lot and differ on some things politically. Sure. And as I'm watching it, I'm thinking, I'm watching some of the characters and go, wow, it's going to be this kind of thing. And then you start bringing it in on your character as well. And
yeah.
Everyone's getting it.
Yeah.
And then you start getting uncomfortable.
Oh, yeah.
And you're thinking, okay, I'm laughing at this. I have to say, you sort of bared it all.
Yes.
in your approach. And I wonder how difficult was it for you to do that?
You know, I think...
Because you wrote it and directed it.
I wrote and directed it. And I think the worst version of this, because personally in my life, I'm pretty liberal. You know,
yeah,
there's
yeah.
some things I'm a little more conservative on.
I bet you and I agree on a tremendous amount. And that is the point.
That's the point. You're right.
Though I come from the other side. And that is the point of it.
Yeah.
And that's what I think is a message that needs to get out.
If I made this movie, because I'm liberal in real life, right? If I made this movie, my character, who is the most liberal, was like this great guy who's totally right and he's got a six-pack. That movie sucks, right?
Right.
So I really wanted to kind of shine a light on how absurd it is right now and how people are so dug in on their opinions and how we kind of let that get in the way of like our family relationships, which is probably bad. Like, but you got to talk to your family,
but you do it through great mechanisms in the movie. And it sort of brought back, like, it sort of made me feel like I remember a movie called Joe.
Yeah, with Peter Boyle.
Peter Boyle.
Yeah,
and
MASH.
And a little bit of The Purge.
Yeah, I like to think of it as a prequel to the prequel to The Purge.
Right.
Before they said, let's give them a day where they can murder each other. Let's try this loyalty oath thing.
Sure.
And see how that works with the
sure.
weather balloon.
And also, because it's in a house,
yeah.
the end of Straw Dogs.
Yes, because of Straw Dogs.
Where yeah. a man is sort of, I've got to...
Defend my family. Yeah, and it gives you that kind of claustrophobic feeling of like, oh my God, this house is killing me. I'm dying in here. Get me out of this house. But yeah, it's I love all those movies. Joe, I haven't thought of Joe. Wow, that's amazing.
But you know, so that's it's rare that movies do that.
Yeah.
And so to have it happen this way, because we're all massive fans of yours. And to have this come out this way has got to be fulfilling. It's 90% on Rotten Tomatoes.
Yeah, it's not bad.
Which is
yeah.
not too shabby.
I've never gotten an A in my life.
No?
I was like a C-minus student, man. This is yeah. huge for my family.
But you also have, and it was an eye-opener, Tiffany Haddish.
Yes.
It plays your wife.
She's a young ingenue. I've plucked her from obscurity. She's my gift to you all.
Well, I'll tell you, I was like, okay, Tiffany Haddish. And I was enjoying her, but now I get the Tiffany Haddish thing, because this is contrary to what you see her.
Yeah, you normally see her on like Ellen, like yeah. dancing and stuff, you
right.
know. And now you see her in this movie where she's kind of like internally struggling, and she like is so. This is based off my wife, where I was talking about the news so much that
yeah.
my wife needed like ocular implants because she was rolling them.
Same
so
thing
much.
With my wife. Same thing with my
she's
wife.
She's over it.
Yes,
and it was like 6:30 a.m. one morning, and she was breastfeeding her daughter. And, who's 12, by the way.
It's not great. It's not a great
that
situation.
That's a long run.
It's not great, but
yeah.
she's healthy.
Yeah.
So it was okay. like 6:30 a.m. and she's breastfeeding, and I'm reading like an article article about something's going on in the news, and I turned to my wife, and I was like, America's lost.
She's like, dude, it's 6:30 a.m. I have a kid on my boob. What are you doing? Too much, too heavy.
Right.
So Tiffany's kind of playing that. I think to see Tiffany Haddish in that energy where she's kind of like internalizing everything is kind of fun. And then you get her when she explodes, and you get that fun Tiffany Haddish we know and love.
She has a great line. You're going off. Finally, it explodes during the meal. And I don't want to give what she says. You're acting like the white Nelson Mandela. But it's true. Like you end up doing this. And I think, well, I would say to people who are fearing this meal this year,
yes,
you may want to go see this because it does sort of re-put into perspective what is important. It's basically a reaffirmation of your family,
yes,
and not missing moments and,
yes,
and not burning your life off. Wound up about this crap.
No, all this stuff, man, these giant external forces, we don't have that much control over. We can vote.
Yeah.
Right? We can vote. Everyone's got to vote.
Right.
But you can't let that get in the way of things that you love. Not just your family, but also, like, sports and, like, working out and, like, eating a good meal and watching a TV show or a
hanging
movie.
Hanging with friends.
Hanging with your friends.
Yeah.
Like you have to kind of try our best to kind of, you know, get to that place where we're still keeping in contact with people.
It's a good message.
Oh, well, brother, thank you.
And that speaks to the power of social media and the positives, because I go back and forth, especially on Twitter, a lot.
Yeah.
It can be such a negative, and you can fall down that hole really,
yes,
easily and feel terrible about the world.
Yeah.
But I said this to you before we went on air. I love your love for Mindy Kaling and, yep, her love in return for you on Twitter, and that type of thing happens all the time on social media, too. So if you can focus on the positive,
yeah,
it does exist.
Yeah, don't go down that wormhole.
It's hard not to.
I love trolling her on social media.
It's hilarious.
She'll post an Instagram of her at, like, the Met Ball, you know, in, like, some, like, $25 million dress.
Right, yeah.
And I'll write back, like, how could you not take me? I'm in the car outside your apartment. This is, you're a terrible friend.
No, it's great. And you know, but it's to that point, like, I posted something on Twitter a while, talking about the wonder of the mute button.
Yes.
Which is a nice, I love you. I don't want to hear this.
I can't hear you right now.
I can't hear you right now. So, but that's okay. And you didn't even know. You didn't even know that I can't hear you.
We need one of those in real life.
We do.
We do need a mute button in real life.
So are you as you go around and to promote the movie and everything, and this is the ultimate for a filmmaker and a writer and getting behind the camera.
Yeah.
What's it like to have your first effort like this out of the gate get this kind of response?
It's been amazing. I mean, like the, you know, the last year, it's basically been like 50 people have watched it.
Yeah.
Now that I'm showing it to America, we went all throughout Texas and all down through the South and San Francisco and D.C. We had a great screening last night. Chris Long of the Super Bowl champion Philadelphia Eagles.
Very cool.
Was there.
So are you, like, friends with him now? Like, is he on your cell phone?
Is he my best friend? No. Is he my top three? Yeah.
Okay. Wow.
Yeah,
that
is.
Happened quickly.
Him, Kyle, and Howie are my top three. So, you know. But it's been great. And the best part, you know, is people with the relatability coming up. And not just people who are kind of on my side of the aisle. I had a lady in Texas come up, and she was like, I was laughing a lot. I like that you made fun of liberals. She worked for the governor of Texas,
who's, yeah,
like the most red guy in the world. So to kind of have people come up and be like, I got like a catharsis out of it. Like, I'm laughing at a family exploding, and it's not my family. And that's the best part.
Yeah. And so, and those are the kind of things, again, to have an experience where you're stick with it. If you go in and you're like 10 minutes, oh, this is BS. Hang in there.
Oh, yeah.
Everyone gets theirs.
It gets crazy.
And it
too.
Gets to the right message, yeah, which is at the end. I don't want to give away the end. Let's just say you will be satisfied.
Yes,
you know,
you will be satisfied.
And it's a good message in a very bizarre and protracted way.
And you'll laugh and you'll get scared. You get, like, I think when you, it's a lot to ask people to go to a movie theater in 2018.
Yeah.
But the two kinds of movies I think are best in theaters are comedies and, like, thrillers, because you kind of feed off the laughs and the tension. I think we kind of do a little bit of both.
So with, like, Get Out was the last,
yes,
movie that caught you. I think sucker punched you, and you're like, oh, put a genre on its ear.
Yes.
And it's great when stuff like that happens. And now we live in a time with such a wealth of material that's out there and so many distractions. To have something cut through the noise.
Yeah.
And you need, it's almost inciting people to be in more creative than ever.
I think so. And look, I still love going to see, like, you know, big, you know, super, like Deadpool 2 and stuff. That's great. We love
awesome.
That stuff. But we also need to start telling stories, I think, that are kind of reflective as to what's going on, because it is so absurd what's happening right
now.
We're living in the craziest time in America, at least in my lifetime. Why not tell some stories about it?
Well, movies take quite a while to write and obviously to put together and get them onto the screen.
How long ago did you have this inspiration? I mean, this is, you know, this had to have been bubbling for a little while.
Yeah, it happened right after the Thanksgiving, after the 2016 election.
No kidding.
After dinner, after Thanksgiving dinner, my mom and my brother and I, listen, we were hammered.
I'm not going to lie to you guys. We're hammering. We started fighting and yelling at each other. And it's your fault. And the next morning, I said, oh, my God, we're all on the same side.
Yeah.
Like, we were fighting. What the hell's going on at other tables? And then as I started talking to friends of mine who were going home around the country and talking to some of my relatives in Ohio, I just knew that the American holiday table, the landscape of that, was changed forever. And there was a lot of pain there. There's a lot of funny stuff there, too, man. Like,
there
it's
is.
Just people are acting crazy. So I really just kind of wanted to take that whole kind of arena and blow it up.
Well, the old edict used to be, and it was one that held pretty steadfastly.
Don't talk politics at the table.
That's it.
You can't do that now because it's permeated. Like, you can. You used to be able to be like, we're not talking politics. Let's just talk about football. Oops. Sorry.
God damn it.
Not happening anymore.
And you're sitting there, and you're getting your alerts on your freaking phone.
Yes.
And your wife is like, oh, no.
See, years ago, I used to be able to, at the dinner table, just throw gas onto the fire and then walk out of the room and just let it burn, right? You can't even do that anymore.
No, you can't. Like, if you're able to get through the holidays and it doesn't come up at all, you're a very disciplined family. So I don't know from that.
Are you doing Thanksgiving in the Chicago area?
No, we actually do it out in L.A. only because my brother lives out there. So my folks come out. We have some folks from Chicago. We have a lot of sausage. A lot of sausage. Dinner and alcohol. And,
yes.
But then we come out there and we do a big Thanksgiving out there.
So are you able, do you think, around the table to keep it...
We'll see. It depends on how many drinks they have. We also have legal weed in L.A., which calms you down. It's really good.
Are your parents doing that? I mean, that's got to be weird if they are.
Listen, Dad is an attorney, so I you know, this. No, we're off the air, right? He loves it. He loves it. He's the best. My brother took him to a weed store.
Really?
He grew up in the 60s in Chicago, and he walks in, there's bud tenders now who are like, hello, are you looking for an indica or something? My dad almost started crying tears of joy.
it's the delivery.
Oh, wow.
So you have a great cast. You have Tiffany Haddish, John Cho, Carrie Brownstein from Portlandia. Oh, she's freaking awesome.
She's my sister.
She's playing against, I think, type.
Yeah.
You know, from playing so many characters.
Yeah.
Nora Dunn.
Nora Dunn.
Yeah.
She's my mom.
So how did you, was this everyone like calling in favors or?
You know what? Honestly, like a couple of the people I knew, I mean, Tiffany Haddish, I said to her, I go, I just saw you in this movie Keanu and you're amazing and it's so great to meet you. She's like, we were in Meet the Spartans together in 2006. You don't even remember that. I was like,
seriously?
Yeah, but we didn't work together. But, like John Cho and Tiffany and Carrie, I think they kind of read the script and they were like, I haven't seen this movie yet.
Okay? Yeah.
And it's something that's happening right now. And they just kind of jumped on board because they were not doing it for the money. That's for sure.
Right.
And, they just kind of jumped on. And I kept expecting Tiffany to be like, yo, I'm a Sith Lord of the new Star Wars. I just I can't do this now.
But
she showed up in a big way, man.
Wow.
Yeah.
All right. So obviously you want as many people as you can to go see this film. Do you think though it would be good to take your adversary, your political adversary with you to go see this
100%.
Okay.
Because we really are like the only good satire is if you can make fun of yourself, right? So if you bring an adversary, and I've been seeing this kind of firsthand, I saw a married couple in Dallas who they're completely opposite sides of the aisle. And they're laughing about it. And the message is, like he was saying, the message is like commonality and trying to find those things we have in common and keep those relationships intact. So, absolutely.
Because it does, eventually, it is a reaffirmation of your family.
Yeah.
And you have a great little moment with your dad.
Yeah.
You know, and and you are opposites politically. By the way, his attempting to use the TV remote is hilarious.
That is based off my dad, who is 67 years old and has never once used the TV remote properly, ever. Ever. But I think, you know, like it is. Look, like, America's bigger than a president.
It is.
It's bigger than a government. And if we cut all these tethers to our family, when the tides change, you're going to be lonely.
Okay, yes. So I haven't seen it, but I'm going off of what Steve has told me about it. And Steve, would you characterize type of
Violent Capra would be very good. Yeah.
It's a good band name. Hang on.
Violent Capra.
We are Violent Capra.
The movie we called It's Not As Wonderful As We Thought. But it's still wonderful. We got it, yeah.
You got that, my bad.
I dropped, yeah. You know what I'm always surprised at, like, is the guys at South Park, their ability to do this. And they've been doing it for 21 years. And they can take comedy and social commentary and play it on both sides and make fun of themselves and make fun of everybody. And when you make fun of everyone, you're kind of making fun of nobody. But but not exactly. I mean, you're still getting comedy and you're still getting satire in. But if you offend everybody, you're not offending anyone.
Yeah. First of all, I can't believe that I first saw Mr. Hanky the Christmas Pooh 21 years ago.
Right.
Yeah. Insane. Uh-huh. That is crazy.
Yeah.
Yeah, but that's so true. And I think that's something like, you know, Chicagoans, my friends from Philly too, we like to make fun of people, but we really like when people make fun of us. Yeah. You know what I mean? It's that self-abuse a little bit. And if you can't laugh at yourself and you take yourself way too seriously, which I think a lot of people do right now, I just think it's not fun and it's not really representative of who we are as Americans.
It's and you have been responsible for so many laughs and from, you know, obviously Central Intelligence which, okay, so your bankability as a scriptwriter and that is on display, and you know Hollywood looks at you at that. Now that they see success as a director and writer, is it classic floodgates opening, or are you still waiting for, or are you anticipating an onslaught of offers and projects?
If I don't get an offer to direct the next Star Wars
tonight at 7 p.m., the whole project was a wash, and I'm a failure.
So, George Lucas, if you hear this, give me a call.
I do
hope to, you know, the great thing is we made this movie independently.
Yeah.
It's the same producers who made Get Out and made Black Klansman and whatnot. So they really gave me a lot of control in telling my story without a filter. And I think if I can keep doing that, that is really where it's at. If you can kind of just tell these weird new stories.
Just to reset real quick, Ike Barinholtz is here if you're just tuning in. And I want to make sure I get this right, but the movie The Oath, is October 19th in Philadelphia.
Yes.
Is when that's coming up. But you also have a TV series, Bless the Hearts.
Is that happening?
It's an animated show at Fox with me and Kristen Wiig and Maya Rudolph and Jillian Bell. Yeah,
wow,
it's
stellar.
Good cast, man.
It's a
really funny show. It's about like a Southern family falling apart.
It's all family here. Stuff.
It's all family. Well, guess what? I'm a dad now, so all I care about, I'm like Paul Reiser. I just do family stuff now.
Yeah. Well, is Greg Evigan working? You can get
Greg Evigan. I'm not BJ, but I am the bear.
Okay. Quick question, though, about the, because I'm fascinated by the directing aspect of it. You would think, okay, directing in a house is, it's got to be easier, but I think it presents a whole other set of problems because you need to keep it interesting.
Yeah, if the viewers get visually bored, you're in trouble. Yeah. So what we kind of did with this is, you know, the beginning, the first half of the movie, which is really more about the family hanging out, like the physical look of the film is different. It's like big wide frames and vibrant colors and people are entering and moving out and stuff. And then by the end of the movie, we're really tight and, you know, like it takes that dark orange color and stuff.
Yeah.
So it's kind of making sure the actual look of the movie kind of moves along with the tone and the story and stuff.
That's cool. Right. Wow. Well, job well done. Congratulations.
Man. Thank you, guys.
Like you were saying, great movie, Steve. You loved it.
This is a movie that if you're looking to kind of just, if you want to say to people, can we calm down for Thanksgiving, take them to see this.
Yes, this is it.
Yeah,
dude,
it might be good.
Honestly, I hope this fixes things. It probably won't.
It won't.
But that would be awesome.
It will get us through the holiday, and that's all we can do, guys. One holiday at a time.
And it's on to Arbor Day.
Oh, God. All right, so The Oath is in theaters, or it's released here in Philadelphia on the 19th. Make sure you check it out. It's great to see you, Ike.
Guys, thanks so much for having me back.
Ike Barinholtz, guys.
Yeah.
We're going to break. We'll be back in just a moment. Stay with us.
2018, MMR celebrates 50 years rockin' Philly. Keep listening for special birthday events and special programming from our long, strange trip together. Every hour this weekend, we highlight 1999. MMR turned 31. It was the year we were introduced to SpongeBob SquarePants and The Sopranos on TV.
So what, no f***ing GD now?
Hey!
Online, we were waiting for the dial-up to connect while worrying about Y2K.
Goodbye.
American Pie, Austin Powers, and The Matrix had the box office buzzing. At MMR, the DJs had new music from these bands.
Foo Fighters,
Blink-182,
Red Hot Chili Peppers,
Nine Inch Nails,
Creed,
Incubus,
Limp Bizkit,
Live,
Chris
Chris Cornell, G-Love and Special Sauce, Collective Soul, and so many more from 1999. Listen all weekend as we highlight another page from our scrapbook of shared musical memories.
Sponsored by Benari Jewelers, an extant in Newtown Square.
93.3 WMMR, everything that's rocked Philly for 50 amazing years.
Thank you, Kathy. So our next guest is going to be at Punchline tonight, tomorrow, Saturday. There's a variety of show times. One show tonight at 8 and then two on Friday and Saturday at 7:30 and 9:45. So we're happy to welcome to our studio Moshe Kasher.
Yeah. Yeah.
Today.
Thrilled to be here.
Happy to have you, sir.
Thank you for having me.
Thanks for coming in. Hey, obviously you're doing the shows here in Philly, but I saw real quick and just some things coming up. On your plate, you're going to be on The Good Place?
I was just on The Good
Place. You
were
just on The Good Place.
It's a great show.
My kids really good. My daughter loves that show.
Yeah, I played like a kind of hipster douchebag character. So it's like, as an actor, sometimes you got to really go deep into a role. You got to kind of stretch. It was that one was
totally
difficult.
A total departure.
Yeah, it was tough, actually.
That show came out of left field, and it seemed to be one of those, okay, here's a high concept that they're not going to get high enough to make happen. And they did, and the cast is really good, and it's on point.
We were in California. We went to Universal Studios last year. Took my family there, and we got onto the set of The Good Place, and it is gorgeous.
Yeah.
You're like, I want to live here.
Looks like heaven.
It's beautiful.
No, those guys are the best. I know that whole writing staff too, and they're just like some of the best in the business. I've worked with a lot of those guys before, and they're very talented people.
Yeah, very cool.
So, and also their casting department is really on point in terms specifically of asking.
They know the right person.
That's right.
For the right job.
I guess if you don't really know how you look or how you're perceived in this world, if you're an actor, just go to a casting call.
Oh, it's unreal. Yeah.
You just look around the room, you're like, oh, that's...
No, the last 10 years of my life is just Jew, gay Jew, nerd Jew, nerdy gay Jew. I mean, everything. You get a real
clear
picture.
There's one consistent there, though.
Yeah. There's a lot of Jew happening. Yeah. My wife's very upset about all the gay casting that I've been offered, but I'm pretty happy.
Your wife, Natasha Leggero, who we know as well.
Yes, love indeed. Her.
I also love her. Well, I like her.
You love her. Towards
love.
It's a more complex love than
that's
ours.
That's right.
Ours is more an adoration.
No, I wanted to actually take my relationship with this show to the wife level, if that's a possibility.
Sure.
If anybody, I don't know what kind of show you guys run here.
We have food. Absolutely. We have the makings of a good first date.
That's
so
right.
Let's destroy it.
Casey said you were chatting with Ike Barinholtz out in the green room. You guys worked together on The League, or?
We did The League together. And we're also just, you know, the comedy scene is very small. And so I told him when he came out, I was like, wow. You went a little long on the last segment. I needed to get in there. I know you got a movie or whatever going on, but I got to get to bed. I did a red eye last night.
Come on, man. So, you know, doing some research on you, and I mean, I'm certainly aware of you. I had not realized that you know, they keep referring to you as in a lot of the articles as a monologist and the monologues that you used to do, which to me is that correct, or is that just people don't understand what stand up is, or?
Oh, I mean, well, a monologist. I've not heard that before. But
am I.
I guess they should just say pretentious. And we could get,
that way. I'm like, really?
I consider myself a humorist first, a monologist second, and a stand-up comedian third, and then a gay nerd Jew fourth, I think.
I thought so. I thought, was it just me or my
No, the truth is that before I did stand-up, I wrote a monologue that got published, and it was, if you can, you can find it. It's in a book called More Monologues by Men for Men, Volume 2. And it is the most over-the-top, like, extremely dramatic. So much so that when I turned the monologue into the publisher, he wrote me back. He's like, this is really good. I do need to ask you, are you personally okay? I swear to God.
So things that we always mock are the street poets. It's just like... can you calm down? Was it that hyperbolic, or was it that?
Well, it's just very
disturbing?
Serious. This is pre-comedy, and I was definitely taking myself a little too. I mean, it's good. I like it, but I was young.
It's weird to look at earlier stuff that you've done, It's, you know, Jim Florentine released a whole album.
He's also a monologist,
And it was him reading from his old notes about stand-up, his old jokes, and it literally is him. he'd read something and you hear him go, God. You just can't believe how bad it is.
There is nothing worse than the disappointment in your former self. Except, I guess, disappointment in your current self.
Yeah. So I had to clean out some stuff in my basement, and I had come across all of my old college notebooks and papers and stuff like that. And I was so embarrassed. And I threw them all away. I was like, there's no way I ever want to see this again. I don't know who that person was. I'm embarrassed about it.
Well, joke's on you, because we brought that stuff. We actually have it right here in the studio. Bring it on in.
And it's actually being emailed out around the world. The presidential advisory system is getting it out.
Here's a poem you wrote called My Love for Preston. I don't know how he knew, but he knew.
But I had a professor that I had long hated and despised, and I thought she was a real pain in the ass.
Oh, here it is now. There it is now. See the mold that I had in college, because it's gotten so much bigger post-college.
Of course. But what I had come to the realization when I was going over these notes is that she wasn't the problem, I was. But
the professor wasn't the problem.
Yeah, no, I was the problem. And I was like, oh, my God. Because now I have interns that are that age, and I expect more of them because they're adults, and I look at them as adults and all that sort of stuff.
So this is like a roundabout way of saying that your interns are insufferable. Is that right?
Basically a criticism of the support team. I want to go to some of the stuff here, because you never know whether this stuff is valid or it's just, you know, it's hard to discern what is real or not. But so we know that both your parents were deaf, correct?
That is true.
All right.
Yeah.
And so you worked as a sign language interpreter when you were 17?
I started when I was 17 as a sign language interpreter. My first boss was a blind deaf woman who interviewed me by putting her hands on my hands, and I would sign into her hands, and then she would discern my skill level, which was a trip.
Whoa. That's amazing.
Yeah, it was wild. And then very quickly after that, she went on a vacation to Hawaii, which, not to be insensitive, I just always thought, what an interesting... Uh-huh. What's going on in Hawaii?
You don't want to seem insensitive, but it does raise questions.
Yeah, it raises business plans, which is a travel agency for the blind and deaf, which is just, you put people in a van for 6 hours, put a lay on top of them, let them smell it, and be like, you're in Hawaii, baby! No, but she was actually pretty awesome. She was a very impressive woman. She interviewed me and exactly knew how good I was or wasn't. My first job was in a welding class, which shows you about how good I was, because I just sat around while tough people did welding.
Wow. Doesn't it make you feel when I see people like that who can deal with that, I feel so a failure. Like, how have you gone above and beyond that to And excel at what you do? It's an astonishing thing. So your parents, they meditate. Was it a sports event or?
Yeah, my mother was the first deaf NFL player, and it's a joke, everybody. I did not like the silence for them. You guys are like, wow. I honor her. That is beautiful.
You can't laugh because it could very well be a league, and you've just offended people.
Yeah. I think they met at some weird thing, like a deaf Olympic game. There's a sort of the deaf Olympics. But by the way, speaking of the NFL, do you know the deaf people invented the huddle? That is true. Do you know about this? This is true. I think it's true. Take a look at me. I'm not quite the football historian you might think I am based on looks alone.
Right.
But what I heard was that Gallaudet and the other deaf schools, they would play against, deaf high schools would play against each other. And because they all communicated in sign language, it necessitated them huddling up so that they could sign to one another.
That's interesting.
So that nobody let's go with that as fact.
We'll go with that as fact.
So the other team couldn't see them signing.
Exactly.
Wow.
And then it became a tradition within football. And then that's how I eventually got my start as a linebacker.
Okay. Yeah. All right. So let's go through 2012 memoir. Casher in the Rye, a true tale of a white boy from Oakland who became a drug addict, criminal, mental patient, and then turned 16. Yeah. All of that true?
Yeah, it's all true. Right, okay. I did turn 16. I had a wild little life. I was, I'm an Oakland, California kid, so we kind of, like, everybody in Oakland aspired to be a criminal, and I figured out how to do it.
Move from New York or where?
Yeah, I was born in Queens. I had my dad and my mom split when I was like one, and he like jumped into Hasidic Judaism, and my mom jumped into Oakland, and so I was raised literally.
Those are two various religions.
They're both black and white dichotomies. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
One wears black and white, and one interacts black and white. And I literally was raised in Oakland secular, but 6 weeks a year, this is true. I would fly to New York and I would put on a Hasidic Jewish costume.
Really?
And I would pretend to be a Hasidic Jew for 6 weeks, which is very difficult. Because everybody in my neighborhood, literally, this is true, they all spoke Yiddish as a first language. In fact, I have...
It's hard to fake that.
Oh, well, yeah, that's very different. They would just, they would greet me, and I would just answer. I didn't know Yiddish. I would just answer back like, and hope that nobody noticed I wasn't using actual language.
Got it done?
No, you don't do it. That's only for me, okay? There are rules here.
Okay, all right.
But it's true. I have family. I have cousins who have Eastern European accents. And they're third generation American or second generation American. Their parents don't have accents.
That's because, wild.
Because their grandparents were the immigrants.
Yeah,
right?
Yeah.
And so immigrants are always like, okay, let's not make any waves. Let's be under the radar. So they would say to their kids, you know, be American. But then by the time my uncle got to the age, you know, as he was growing up, then there was more confidence in that community.
And re-embracing it.
Yeah. So then he would teach his kids, oh, wow. Just speak Yiddish. So he speaks totally like an American with an American accent. But my cousin would just, you know, straight up would sound like a East German kid.
Wow. That's wild.
That cousin once, he sort of cornered me one day, and he was like, I have a secret I have to tell you. Because he looked at me. They all looked at us, me and my brother, as like the kind of portal to the outside world. You know what I mean? I mean, these are kids who are, you know, they live in New York, and they maybe don't know who the Yankees are. Like, straight up. I mean, they're
oh
so inundated.
God, sure.
So I mean,
it
this
can
isn't,
happen, though.
This isn't like a guy in a yarmulke. This is like a guy with a fiddle that doesn't speak English. Okay. So he cornered me and goes, I got a secret to tell you. And I was like, okay, what's up? He's like, it's a big secret. I'm like, okay, you're gay. What's up? Tell me. It's okay. I'll accept you. I'll let him accept you. He goes, I've always wanted to be. I go, what? Date man? He goes, a lawyer. That was his big, deep, dark secret.
He wanted to be a Jewish lawyer?
He wanted to be a lawyer. A Jew wanting to be a lawyer was somehow a secret so shameful that he could only tell the guy who'd left the faith behind. So.
It would have rocked the industry.
Yeah, that's exactly right. The lack thereof.
That's funny. That's funny. So, kicked out of 4 high schools?
Yeah, oh yeah, yeah.
Now, what precipitated, what caused that?
Well, I had a lot of different things.
Because we see, and then you understand, you know, we see you as this.
See me as what, exactly?
A gay Jew.
A gay Jew.
Oh, a little quick on the draw there, dude. It's called self-deprecation.
We don't see you as, you know, as
a troublemaker.
Yeah,
you
troublemaker,
look mild-mannered.
Yeah.
Oh, that, fair enough. Okay, look, I've done a lot of healing. And,
okay, yeah, well, that's good.
This is some therapeutic suggestions that I've been given, the glasses. And no, I was like a wannabe kid. You know what I mean?
Okay.
I was like a kid that was like in a deep identity crisis. I don't want to get too far into the details of what it was, but I will say that in my hair at various points, I used Let's Jam, and I also used Three Flowers. So that's two different race-based hair products.
Sure, right?
That I would, and I had like a comb in my pocket. I was like, you know what I mean? That I would always be like,
ever use
combing as I, you know what I mean?
We all had goody combs in our pockets.
Yeah. You know, like, yeah, and you have like that sheen of like sort of gross detritus that would collect.
Yes.
That was what I call my gangster grease.
It's funny though to think, because obviously here you are and but you to go through that and to come out on this side is it's diametrically opposite of that of the high school.
It's encouraging.
It's encouraging.
Well, Nick has a question.
Yeah. if you were the wannabe bad boy, were you the follower in these gangs, or like would you be the impetus for getting people into trouble, or were you the guy who got in trouble after somebody else did?
Oh no, I was definitely the guy that was always getting in trouble. My friends had this ability to manipulate my ego by telling me what a great shoplifter I was. They would always go, "Your dog. You're the best. Like, you, there's something about your skills, your hand." And so then I would always be the one going and stealing the bottle of booze. Is that you too?
Exactly.
It's so embarrassing.
It's awful.
I remember I got one of the only times I got caught shoplifting, because I was actually very good. I had a bottle of Bailey's Irish cream liquor. Why that? That's
of
not
course.
Even a party. That can't even really entertain more than two people.
No.
And I got caught, and this big hulking security guard, he had me in his arms, and it was really just really nice to kind of sink in there. No, and he turned me towards my friends who are sort of leaving, and he just goes, "Look at your friends. Look at what they're doing. They're just leaving you." And I'm like, "Well, what are they supposed to do? Hang around and hope that we crack open the Bailey's?"
Of course they're going to bowl.
Did they not give you a list of stealable liquors?
Oh, yeah, that's right.
Yeah. We're going to make creamed crickets later on.
That's right. I got recruited to steal fishing gear.
Hilarious.
So, yeah, and I was good at it as well, and
but one time I literally had a rod down my pants and up through my shirt.
Oh, I've been through having a rod down your pants. I know what you're talking about.
It's funny, though. I shoplifting, I remember as a kid, I have no ability. Like, for example, waiting online in security at the airport, I still get nervous. And I'm doing nothing. I've never... There's nothing.
You just have to pretend like you're not doing anything wrong. I mean, that's right. Essentially it. I walked into a store one time. I put a hat on and I left with it on my head, just waiting for somebody to stop me. Nothing. Not
we had
one
some
person.
Tricks. I was on food stamps growing up. Jews on welfare. Very rare. Very, very rare. If you can catch me, I'll grant you a wish, but I'm very tricky.
But it's like a unicorn.
That's exactly right. We wanted cigarettes. And yeah. So our trick was you couldn't buy food stamps cigarettes, and we didn't want to outright shoplift. Sometimes we would just steal them directly. But what we'd do is we'd grab two packs of cigarettes, Newports, of course. You know who I was. And we would throw them into bags of ground coffee, fill the coffee up, and then go up to the front and buy what these people thought, four kids walking up with food stamps buying 1 pound of coffee, what we were up to at like 10 p.m., I don't know.
Right.
But then that's how we would get our cigarettes.
Wild.
They used to put the cigarettes right on the rack in front of the register, which was so easy to steal. I mean, that's how I ended up, you know, with Capri cigarettes. It's
I did the same with Carlton's. That's what I got. You remember Carlton's? Those were the healthy cigarettes.
The healthy. Doctors would recommend that.
That's right.
Yeah.
Wow. That's too funny.
Go ahead, Preston.
No, you go ahead.
I was going to say, speaking...
I'll take over. Let me just do this.
Go for
it. We're tuned in now to Moshe Kasher, a masculine man, a special man. No, what was your question? Go ahead.
It's not really a question. It's more of a comment about your act because,
this should be fun. Yeah,
no, no it's not what I expected. It's filthy.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah, yeah. What did you expect?
I'm
a monologist.
No, but I hate to judge a book by its cover, but you know, you look at the cover and you think it's going to be a monologue or something like that. But no, it was, and I loved it.
Thank you very much.
But it's not entirely blue comedy. It's smart as well.
I describe my comedy as highbrow, lowbrow. I talk about stupid things smartly and smart things stupidly. That's
we endeavor to do that, but we fail.
I've been listening. I think you guys do a great job.
Oh, thank you.
That's what I say to every single radio show I go to.
Thanks for that reciprocal compliment.
that is true. I've never been a fan of the concept that vulgarity is somehow a negative or a less than.
No.
Vulgarity is as good as cleanliness, and everything is good. You know, Doug Stanhope is amazing, and so is Jerry Seinfeld. That's my belief.
The ultimate result is if you are pleasing the audience, you're getting a laugh. I contend that the Gilbert Gottfried's telling of the aristocrat joke is a science.
Oh, nothing better. Yeah. No, vulgarity is not for everybody. I once did a college. You get these college gigs from your agent. You don't know, but college gigs are great gigs because they pay really well, and you're going to say yes to every one of them. But you never know what school you're going to. And I was pulling around a corner in the cab, and I saw this gigantic cross, and I was like,
Yeah.
And it was a Jesuit school and literally in the middle of my act, and the kids are obviously loving it because they're, it's transgressive and they're enjoying this sort of filth. And this Jesuit priest stands up and I'm not talking like classic, exorcist outfit. I'm talking like old school papal like gown situation.
Wow.
He's wearing the priest dress, and he just goes, "This is vulgar and it's terrible, and you're beneath this, or you're above this, or I'm beneath this." I don't know what it was exactly, so I had to fight. Now I'm in a pickle. What am I supposed to do? Like tell this like padre like you know, get banned.
Hell,
I don't know what to do exactly. Yeah. I'm already nervous as a Jew that I'm even here.
Right,
Well, I wasn't going to say get banned, but then I realized I was on the radio. So fill in the gaps. So we ended up having, and then he comes up to me, of course, he wants to shake my hand, and I can't touch a priest as a Jew. I'll just evaporate. So,
It is weird, but sometimes from the left field, an audience you think is going to be horrific turns out to be, because I played... When I did stand up at Fordham University, then the entire audience was Jesuit priests.
Uh-huh.
And it was.
Did they love it?
They were great.
Yeah, right.
They were awesome. I mean, I wasn't doing hardcore stuff, but I was doing questionable stuff. And, yeah, you just never know.
Salt Lake
City. As a monologist, you know.
Yeah, that's exactly right. Salt Lake City is famously, like, a great comedy town. And it's
really?
Like, because people are there, like, you know, scratching, like, just come on, say something please. Disgusting,
it's
please.
The Footloose syndrome, yeah,
it's
right?
Exactly, it's Footloose.
You were right.
I come into town, I go, we can laugh again, everybody.
Oh, man. Have you played Philly before? You've been in town?
I have, yeah, okay, yeah. Cool. I did, on the honeymoon tour that my wife and I did leading up to this, we played at the Trocadero.
Cool.
And then a long time ago, there was a cool little bar called, like, oh, I don't know, some weird bar with a, well, I remember there's like a crystal ball somehow in the room. It was, anyway, and now the Philly punchline.
No, it's great. We have a good comedy scene in Philadelphia now, and it's cool because I think, you know, people love it. They love to laugh, especially now. So yeah, it's a good thing.
For sure.
Moshe will be at Punchline tonight. There's a show you can get tickets to. It's at 8 p.m. And then there's two shows tomorrow and Saturday, 7:30 and 9:45. So you can get those at punchlinephilly.com. Thanks for coming in, man.
Thank you very much. Nice and if I could begin my monologue by saying I was born to two deaf parents. Thank you very much for having
me. Moshe, guys, is here from Moshe Kasher on the program. We'll take a break and we'll be right back. Make sure you stay with us.
What's new?
Glad you asked.
Foo Fighters. Alice in Chains. Godsmack.
New music. More of everything that rocks.
On 93.3 WMMR.
We've had so many guests today. We've been skipping some of our stuff, so we're going to do not only the beef file here, but we'll do the trash and music news as well. So let's get into that now.
Now, WMMR presents Bizarre. Kristen and Steve's Bizarre File.
All right, got some animal stories here.
Animals?
Yeah, we'll start with this. An army soldier out hunting with a partner in Alaska on Saturday was critically injured by a bear that fell on him.
The bear fell on him?
Yeah, they had shot the bear.
Oh.
And the bear fell on him. William McCormick.
I don't feel so good.
And Zachary Tennyson were hunting above Carter Lake. Trooper said McCormick and Tennyson shot a bear that was above them on a ridge. The bear rolled down a slope and dislodged rocks in the process. McCormick was injured by both a falling rock and the bear. So this guy.
I'm not going to say I'm upset about this.
Right. Troopers with the fire department showed up and they responded to the scene. McCormick was initially carried by an ambulance and later flown to a medical center in Anchorage.
So this is near Seward. This is actually where a lot of the cruise ships depart from. I know it well.
His injuries were reportedly life-threatening. McCormick and maybe the bear was on his way to take a cruise.
He was going to go see Glacier Bay.
Yeah. McCormick and Tennyson are soldiers that live on Joint Base Elmendorf-Richardson in Anchorage. Both men
garbage over there.
Are with the 4th Brigade Combat Team, and details are not released on what type of bear the men had shot or how far it had fallen. That's a freak accident.
That is a very freak accident.
How about this? And a horse actually walked into a bar last week. This is the second story I've had of this type within a month.
I just heard the wildest bear story.
Causing customers to run in and panic as people calmly enjoy their beverages at the bar in Chantilly, north of Paris.
Where was the last horse story?
That one was in Ireland, I believe.
Yeah, and that was a very benevolent incident.
Yeah, well, they were startled and forced to react quickly as a racehorse galloped into the building. A video captured by security camera shows the moment when the animal enters rapidly.
What did the bartender say to the horse, Preston?
First, you can see customers frantically.
Why the long face?
Something about his face. I don't remember what it was. Yeah.
What the hey?
But first, you can see customers frantically moving out of the way.
Wow.
And then the horse, with its saddle falling off, gallops through the pub before turning to head back the other way.
It's sort of bucking a bit, trying to get the saddle off of it, so its back legs are kicking out.
Jean-Marie Beguin, the horse's trainer, said that the animal had kicked off its rider before running off. It came from a race course stables located less than a mile away.
I need
away.
A drink!
However, Beguin said that such an escape was unusual. The filly escaped by going out onto the road and crossing a roundabout before entering this bar, she said, and it's all quite exceptional.
A witness said it's all quite exceptional.
Yes.
There's the difference, right?
Yeah, exactly.
Freaking horse came in here. It's all rather exceptional.
It was crazy.
Crazy freaking horse nearly kicked my balls off.
Yeah. A man has died after he was hit by a car while checking damage to a car after it hit a bear Sunday night in northern Minnesota.
Two bears in one story.
I'm telling you. According to the State Patrol, shortly after 8 p.m., two men were heading east and their car struck a bear. The passenger and the driver were checking damage to the car when another car struck the passenger. That's horrible. The passenger was identified as 61-year-old Vernon Monroe Owens. He was the driver, but another man was not hurt. The driver of the other car was not injured in the crash. Alcohol was not a factor in that crash.
What about the bear?
Yet another freak accident. No word on the bear.
I ain't feeling no pain.
I guess not. And a 26-year-old man on Friday was arrested on charges of practicing dentistry without a license.
Like Hermie.
You hear about this every now and then, but this one's a little bit different. Investigators said Alan Turner had been making custom molds for dental grills at his home.
Why is this such a fascinating? You've had many stories about amateur dentists.
Yeah.
Why is that so fascinating for people?
He didn't think he was doing dentistry work. He was just making grills.
Just making grills.
Just making grills.
Oh, right. Grills.
Turner.
I'm just making grills.
Said that he was unaware that what he was doing was illegal and that he considers himself more of a jeweler. He said a Florida Department of Health investigator and a police officer visited his home to order him to stop doing the work, and he obeyed them.
I'll just stick with penile implants.
Turner said, I see a lot of people doing it. I never figured that you needed a license for it. Police said they discovered multiple drills, cutting tools, and other equipment at his home. He said, I think people make assumptions when things are just cosmetic in nature. That doesn't necessarily require licensing. Or at least this is what the police lieutenant said. Turner said that he was fined $1,000 and was arrested several weeks later once the state's attorney's office chose to file against him.
Guess I have to close down my hysterectomy business.
He said that business had been good thanks to Facebook. He said this is big in the hip-hop industry.
Of course it is.
He said he would charge customers several $100 a piece, but he's chosen to call it quits. He said, I don't want to do it no more, man. I don't want no parts of it. None at all. None at all, man.
Spoken like a true dentist.
Mm-hmm. Turner was released from the county jail after paying his bail. And one more story or wrap it up?
Yeah, one more.
If you have a story of a bear getting a grill.
Oh, man.
Bear grills.
Bear grills.
I know. It's beautiful.
Yes.
All right, one last story. One homecoming queen election has taken the high road, but not in the way Michigan school officials want. A batch of brownies that was laced with marijuana at Hartford High School, and school officials believe that the chef was a cheerleader who was trading the snacks for homecoming queen votes.
Well, she's going to win.
Angel Avery, a parent of one of the students, said that she learned of the incident when her daughter sent her a text from the school. She said, Mom, so-and-so bought me medibles in school. A student is accused of baking 12 drug-laced brownies and slipping some in goodie bags for the football team. The superintendent released a statement Tuesday, said that the student, the school district is investigating the incident.
Would a pot brownie be more potent than a, like, just smoking pot?
It just takes longer. Can be. Well, and you don't know until you've eaten it all and you wait for an hour.
Yeah, you end up in the fetal position.
But making them is not easy. It's not, you don't just take pot and put it in the brownie mix and cook it up.
Oh, you don't? You
use the oil, right?
You got to make the butter.
The butter.
And
wait, you put the pot in the butter?
Yeah, there's a way that you
it's
basically,
like pot butter.
I never knew that.
Yeah, you infuse it. And it's a very difficult process. I personally have never seen it done. I've never done it.
I thought you threw the little leaves in the brownies and
cook them. No, eat the THC.
All individuals are being dealt with according to the district policies and student handbooks, according to an official with the district. And there you go. That's what I have for you, the B-Fop. All right, we're going to do lesson question. And today we are giving away a four-pack of tickets. Temple's taking on ECU on Saturday at noon, Lincoln Financial Field. And I haven't looked at these yet, so let me, oh, yeah, here you go. How much money should you get for crapping on a plate?
It's basically a given.
It's just the going rate.
Yeah, it's just, yeah. You know.
What
check
should you
online
get for crapping on a plate?
215-263-WMMR. How much money should you get for crapping on a plate? You had to have been listening to know the answer to that. 215-263-WMMR. Call right now. We're going to do the trash while you're calling.
The trash business is a gold mine.
93.3 WMMR with Preston and Steve's Hollywood Trash.
All right, it's brought to you by Dunkin' Donuts. Fuel up this fall at Dunkin' with $2 any size. Iced coffees from 2 to 6 p.m. Try any of Dunkin's delicious flavors like maple pecan or pumpkin. America runs on Dunkin'. Participation may vary. Limited time offer. What's going on, Steve?
Well, they already lost a major cast member and replaced him. Now the set of Lethal Weapon getting rocked again by the news that Damon Wayans will be leaving the show in December. Regardless, Fox says it remains committed to the show, which will now have a different cast, different storyline, and won't be called Lethal Weapon.
No.
Rapper Designer. Yes, Designer is his name. Got into a heated yelling match during a concert and tried to hit an audience member who called him a knockoff version of the rapper Future. Designer threatened bitch slapping after bitch slapping also showed up and joined in the fight.
Oh my God.
And finally, according to Caitlyn Jenner's girlfriend, Sophia Hutchins, the two have more of a mutual partnership than a romance. Hutchins says still Caitlyn is a romantic at heart and will often go out and pick her a bouquet of trees.
That's your Hollywood chance. All right, we'll see if somebody listening heard this earlier this morning. How much money should you get for crapping on a plate? 215-263-WMMR. I had a caller up, but they, I guess they chickened out and they hung up, and I don't know who to go to now.
Not a lot of people want to admit they know the going rate for crapping on a plate.
That might be the reason that we're having a hard time getting somebody on, but I think we have a caller we can go to. It's Luna. Hello there, Luna.
Hey, Durka,
my man. So how much money should you get for crapping on a plate?
You get $50.
$50?
Yeah. There's a man who knows this. Rate of exchange.
The correct answer is going to get him a four-pack of tickets as Temple football battles ECU this Saturday at noon at Lincoln Financial Field, presented by Temple Health, Support Cancer Awareness Day, and Audible for Autism Day at the game. Kids' tickets are only $10. You can visit owlsticks.com. Let's get into music news.
Now, Preston and Steve's Music News on 93.3 WMMR. Yeah!
All right, Music News this morning is brought to you by the Pennsylvania Ear Institute of Salus University, offering quality care for your hearing and balance needs. Their expert audiologists are here to help you hear your best. Sorry. Info at salusuhealth.com/PEI. Foo Fighters' official Twitter account posted two cryptic tweets regarding this upcoming weekend's Cam Jam Festival, which is set to take place in San Bernardino, California. First, in a tweet announcing a screening of Joan Jett's new documentary, they responded by tweeting, "Can't wait, what else could we have up our sleeves?" and a bunch of question marks, and says, "Stay tuned." Hours later, they shared footage from Nirvana's Rock and Roll Hall of Fame after party set, which took place following the band's induction in 2014. And that tweet included the caption, "This is a jam." And it said hashtag CalJam18, and it was retweeted by Nirvana's verified Twitter account. Now, what some are thinking that might mean?
Cobain's coming back.
No, Cobain is not coming back. But the living Nirvana members, Dave Grohl and Pat Smear, will play together in the Foo Fighters, and Chris Novoselic's band is going to be there called Giants in the Trees. So maybe they will get together because in that Rock and Roll Hall of Fame after party, Joan Jett sang with them.
That's true.
As they did Nirvana songs. And so did this guy from a band called Deer Tick. His name is John McCauley.
And they're the ones that carry Lyme disease.
And they're wondering if maybe all these guys are going to get back together and do a Nirvana tribute of some sort on stage.
I was watching a trailer for the new Joan Jett documentary. Have you seen that?
No.
It looks awesome.
I'm sure it's going to be great.
Yeah.
They're possibly planning to recreate that performance at Cal Jam this weekend, and if they do, we will certainly let you know about it. Tom Morello is releasing a new single in honor of Chris Cornell, with whom Morello played for 5 years and 3 studio albums and Audioslave. The song called "Every Step That I Take" features guest appearances from Portugal the Man and EDM artist Weathen. Weathen?
Mm. Weathens.
Wheat Thins.
Yeah.
No weapon.
The designer opened for
Yes, him. The designer opened for Wheat Thins.
All right, so Morello explained...
Y'all know Triscuits?
We're partnering with an organization called SAVE, which stands for Suicide Awareness Voices of Education, focusing on suicide prevention, information, and depression awareness as well. With the passing of Chris over a year ago and the momentum towards removing the stigma from mental health issues and suicidal thoughts, it was very important to have a song, from that point of view. He said, "I've had mental illness issues in my family and among my friends in the past, and there's a current trend toward this demystification to encourage people among your friends, loved ones, and professionals, there is help and there are ways. Every step that I take is about how the dreams and depression and love and the lack of it on the emotional steps of the gallows are proceed." What?
Huh?
Process.
What? Sorry. What is that?
Okay. suicide's bad.
Yeah, yes. Yeah. Thank you.
And there are people Thank here you. To help you. I think that's the gist.
That's of the it. Message.
Every Step That I Take is featured on Morello's new solo album, The Atlas Underground, which arrives on October 12th.
He's in town on Tuesday. He's at World Cafe Live. And I think, Kathy, is Pierre going to interview him?
Yes, I believe so.
Okay.
All right. Then we have Green Day. He's been put on, the band has been put on blast by Johnny Rotten. Of course, formerly of Sex Pistols, John Lydon is his real name. In a new interview with the New York Times, the punk rock legend said that it was embarrassing that bands inspired by Green Day are still wearing spiky haircuts and trying to keep 1978 alive.
So Johnny Rotten was complaining about bands like Green Day spiking their hair?
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah. He said that he elaborated by saying, how many bands are out there like Green Day now? I look at them, and I just have to laugh. They're coat hangers, you know?
he never holds back.
A turgid version of something that doesn't actually belong to them. He went on to call modern punk rock a caricature of itself and a perfect backdrop to sell a pair of sneakers.
Wow.
But he's always been saying stuff like that. Always.
I'm sure he thinks calling someone a band a turgid version of the their band is a compliment.
Yeah,
so,
probably. Yeah. All right, and then one last thing. Paul McCartney posted a message on social media saluting his and the Beatles' longtime engineer, Jeff Emerick, who died on October 2nd of a heart attack at the age of 72. McCartney first met Emerick in 1962, began working with him 4 years later when Emerick became the Beatles' primary engineer, starting on the sessions for what became the band's groundbreaking Revolver album. Paul posted on his Facebook page, woke up this morning to sad news of Jeff Emerick's passing. He was a great engineer and friend, and even though the Beatles had many great engineers over the years, Jeff was the one.
Do we have the audio clip of him, Preston? I think we had it. It was from yesterday. It's him talking about being presented with the challenge of doing Sgt. Pepper's.
Okay, I'll finish this quote first. He was smart, fun-loving, and the genius behind many of the great sounds on our records. I worked with him after the Beatles, and it was always fun, and the sounds he managed to conjure up were always special. Having seen him earlier this year, when he came around to our studio, I'm shocked and saddened to have lost such a special friend. God bless you, Jeffrey. Love, Paul. Yoko Ono also tweeted, I'm so shocked that Jeff Emerick is no longer with us. He was the best engineer. Not only was he the best engineer, he was very, very kind. Love, Yoko. And Julian Lennon also tweeted out, RIP Jeff, one of a kind. So it was much love.
And these, and with these artists and with the band at that time and with George Martin, these guys were not only creating the sound, they were creating the ways to create the sound.
Right, exactly. They had to just make stuff up.
Yes.
And run with it.
Improvise. And these engineers were basically pulling rabbits out of their proverbial hat and or their asses, whatever works for you.
Well, here's an example. So, Paperback Writer.
Yes.
Which, if you'll notice, the bass line in that kind of leads the song.
Yes.
And it had such an upfront presence to it. Apparently, it was the first to prominently feature Paul's Rickenbacker bass as lead instrument. And Jeff had said that he believed that by miking McCartney's bass with a loudspeaker, he could break new ground on how a bass sounded on the radio, because you can actually use a speaker as a microphone, yes, believe it or not. So he said, my theory was that if a loudspeaker can push a bass out, then a loudspeaker can take it back in. And I used that loudspeaker as a moving core microphone, and that's exactly what I did. And it did have a certain roundness and fullness to it, and you'll hear it in the recording because it stood out at the time.
Yeah, so it sounds great.
So they were breaking things like that. We don't have that case?
No.
Okay. We don't have that clip?
No.
I have something that's just as good.
Okay.
Good housekeeping.
There we go. Yeah.
That's perfect. All right, and there you go. That's your music news this morning. All right. We have another thing to get to.
Wow.
This morning, yeah.
Can the show possibly get any more entertaining?
Oh, God, I don't know. Tomorrow is College Radio Day.
Yes.
It's a special acknowledgement of those who work in college radio or who have worked in college radio. And there's a special event that is taking place at WHIP. And we have here in our studio one of our interns who is involved. This is Allison Salmon.
Yeah.
Hey, guys.
How you doing, Allison? Yeah. Hey, all right. So WHIP, tell us about that first.
So WHIP is Temple's college station. It's completely student run. We have over 80 hours of live programming each week, and it's a variety of programming. We have, like, music, news, sports, and entertainment, so
we get a lot of interns from Temple who are working in the station, and it's, listen, the guys who come from Temple, our interns that are generated out of that program, are excellent, so, and you, how long have you been a part of it?
So I've, since my first week of freshman year, I'm now a senior. I started as an on-air.
You're the GM now.
Now I'm the general manager, yeah.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
I kind of climbed my way up. I was the music director for a little, then the program director, and now I'm a general manager, so.
Yeah.
And that's when the big bucks start rolling in. Yeah.
Allison has actually taken over our social media for the day, right? So
it's
you've
true,
been doing
yeah.
our Instagram and stuff. Mm-hmm. That's awesome.
Posting some stories.
All right, so you guys have some special programming planned?
Yes. Yeah, so College Radio Day is basically just a celebration of college radio. It's trying to encourage people to listen that wouldn't normally. So the idea is to kind of have an event that people are inclined to tune in for. So we are having a tape-a-thon, which is 24 hours of analog tape. We're shutting down our computers, and we're going back to analog tape. Wow. We have, thanks to our engineer, we have a 8-track, we have a cassette player, we have a reel-to-reel. So we are...
Do you have a cart machines?
See, I'm not. If I had my engineer here, he'll probably right, try to pull
that's
it.
What the
explain, Preston.
Well, yeah. So a cart machine is. It was the standard in radio for ages. It came after vinyl. And songs were played on cart. It looks like an 8-track tape.
It's basically the same thing.
It's an endless loop.
Yeah.
And you pop it in. Yeah, maybe that's what you guys
are using. Yeah, probably.
So does it have a slot in the front and you slam it in? And
Okay,
so you're doing carts. That's cool. That's that speaks to us, no question.
There would honestly be in the studio, and you know this, there'd be spinning racks of carts, or
hundreds.
They'd be in a whole wall of them. And not only would the carts hold the musical elements, they would include the imaging elements and the commercials and all that stuff. Yes.
I have a cart in back in the office.
I know where it is.
You know where it is? Yeah, bring it in here. Because that was our standard.
That was it.
And we had them stacked all over the place.
And whenever I was doing, and at that point I was doing production and comedy stuff, I'd put them on carts. So you'd have to set the cue tones and make sure it ended properly, and then we'd trip the cart after that. Well before computers.
Yeah, we would use reel-to-reel as well for some, so you guys have all that. So.
Yeah, 24 hours, we'll have a live host the whole time.
When does it start?
It starts midnight tonight, and then it will last till Saturday at midnight.
And are you doing a shift?
That's an old cart. You see that?
Oh, yeah.
Okay, so what it looks like?
Mm-hmm,
there you go. All right, perfect.
I will not be doing a shift because I have work, unfortunately, but we have a lot of great hosts going into it. And another cool thing is if you sign up, you can play something from your own library. We have a library. And on top of that, if you're signed up, you get a blank cassette tape and you get to create your own like mixtape.
Nice.
So, it's going to be a really cool thing. A lot of variety. And we hosted a vinyl-thon in the past, which was really successful. So we're hoping the same.
All right. So what time does this start?
So midnight, I guess
tonight.
That would be, tonight.
Okay.
But it'll go till, Saturday at midnight.
All right. How do people listen to WHIP?
So we're streaming only.
Okay.
You can find us on iHeartRadio app. You can find us on Radio FX and also tune in.
Okay. So there you go. And Preston, you're a big aficionado of college radio.
I love it. Yeah. I didn't do it myself. Would have been kind of cool, but I didn't go to college. But I went to a broadcasting school, so I got to play radio quite a bit. But to actually be on broadcast radio in school, that's cool, man.
I got in trouble many times on my college radio station.
Did you really?
Putting content up, because it would play. They would play through, the radio would play in this school through a closed system, and then it would play out over the local cable system. So there was an actual channel you could listen to. And I thought that was pretty wild. So I would do things that they didn't appreciate now and then, but it was all good.
Yeah, so do you have to crack the whip on some of the students sometimes?
So we don't have to follow FCC regulations, but we do. We consider ourselves a pretty professional station.
It's probably a good habit to get into if you want
to
get into this.
We're trying to instill people with the kind of mindset that if you want to do this, this is the industry you're going to be going into, so you might as well start following that now.
Yeah, but you can ask how much does it cost to crap on a plate.
Exactly. That's within the bounds of the proper FCC rules. So what's your plan for the long term here?
I moved to LA a couple summers ago and interned out there, and I want to get back to LA and just work in the music industry. And I mean, I love radio and I would love to continue doing radio too. I mean,
where did you intern in LA?
It was called Velvet Hammer Music Management Company. We actually managed a lot of bands that we play here, like Alice in Chains.
Oh.
I helped plan like some tours. I got to hold Jerry Cantrell's guitar.
Very nice.
Yeah. And I actually searched for a kilt for the Jonathan Davis from Korn.
He
wanted a custom made kilt.
That's cool.
I probably spent half the summer trying, like running around Hollywood trying to create this.
To get a custom made kilt?
Yeah, it was pretty interesting. Well,
did you get it?
Fun
did you get it done?
I got it done, yeah.
Nice.
You've got the passion. That's
awesome.
You
probably wore it on tour. I don't know.
All right. Your job was accomplished, though. That's all you need to know.
That's
cool. It's a nice little tribute you guys are doing.
Yeah, and one more thing about that. We're actually also fundraising for CHOP. So the link to that, it's up on the Instagram story right now, and it'll be posted on the site later, I believe. But it's WHIPRadioTU.com/donate. We're just fundraising for the Child Life Department there. It helps provide media programs and creative arts kind of things for the children over at CHOP. So,
and they have a radio. They have their own little radio set up over there that Ryan Seacrest instrumental in getting. So
yeah,
very cool.
So it'll help fund that. So nice. Another thing we're doing.
All right, excellent. Good luck with that. And thanks,
Allison.
Appreciate it.
Let's hear
for Allison,
yay!
Sam, and one of our finest here on the President and Steve Show. We're going to take a break. We'll come back in a second. Letter of Day, Word of the Week Prize, beer should be in. Stay with us. We'll be right back.
Whether social.
Hey, welcome in.
Or anti-social.
Hey, get out!
Join your MMR pals on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram. Groovy photos, videos, and social commentary. Plus, we find them the perfect place to waste time during the company meetings. Hashtag MMR rocks.
Am I giving this away now?
You have to do it
today.
Really?
I didn't. Okay. This just in. Breaking news. Yeah, we have breaking news.
Breaking news.
MMR's 50-day march to Metallica, and I have a chance to put it in right now. Load and reload on CD, and you'll be qualified for the grand prize meet and greet custom Metallica Orion 65 tailgate cooler. I'll take caller number 25 at 215-263-WMMR, because that show is going to be on the 25th. You need to check out the complete list of prizes and giveaways that we have scheduled at WMMR. It's MMR's 50th finale with Metallica. Wells Fargo Center, like I said, on the 25th. Some tickets remain at Ticketmaster.com. So let's get that winner now, and we'll take care of you with all that good stuff. So what else was I going to say? I guess I should thank you want to hit an appearance, Nick?
Yeah, I'm out tonight. I am at Northeast Philly, the Union Tap. It's right off the boulevard. It's 2711 Comley Boulevard. We're there from 7-11. We got an autographed helmet from Chris Long, who has been mentioned several times.
7-11?
Did I say 7-11?
I meant
7-9. Okay. Sorry. 7-9. And then we're going to have Eagles tickets for the Panthers game, which is coming up in a few weeks. So stop by. Have some Bud Light $250 drafts and $250? $2.50 drafts. You get the point.
$50 drafts.
I've been doing that all day.
Yeah. So seven to nine. And we'll talk about all things football.
All right. Nice. And then Marissa's got an appearance on the other side of the area in King of Prussia. Marissa, if you want to get the details on that.
I am. It's King of Prussia's Beer Fest Royale. I've been a few years ago. I'm so excited to go back. There are hundreds of craft beers to try tonight. And then I think they're giving away free cigars in the cigar lounge.
Wow.
And just come and hang out. And there's food trucks. We had some of those restaurants in last week that were hanging out. It's a really great time. I think I'm bringing some friends and taking an Uber over from the city. So it's going to be a great time. And they also do transportation. If you take the train. Allison, hang on for one second.
No. Go ahead. Okay, I want to hear her telling everybody they didn't win the contest. Sorry, you're calling number 7. Sorry, you're calling number 8. Sorry, you're calling number 9.
If you guys ever thought that we didn't count, we really count through all the phones. If you take the train to any of the train stations, they're doing buses back and forth, too. So there's plenty of ways to get out there.
Awesome.
Come and hang out with me. King of Prussia Beer Fest Royale. I'll be there at 5:30 tonight.
All right, cool. Let me take a moment to thank the guests. There have been plenty on today. Guy Fieri.
Yay!
Who is in town. He was talking about Guy Fieri's kitchen and bar at Harris, Philadelphia. Steve, you're right. The burger that he had sent over here is fan-freaking-tastic.
I wish he had not sent them over.
I ate the whole thing.
Well, I'm doing it in pieces, and this will convince me that I haven't eaten a whole burger.
I tried to do that, too.
Yeah.
I started with half.
Yeah.
And then I ate a quarter piece of the other half, and I just finished it all off.
Yeah. Excellent.
Thanks to Guy. He's a great guy. Also, thank you to Tim Dillon.
Yeah.
He's going to be Helium Comedy Club tonight and through the weekend, heliumcomedy.com. It was great to have Ike Barinholtz here as well. His movie, The Oath, will be in theaters on the 19th, so check that out. Steve says it's a great movie.
Yep.
We had Moshe Kasher on the program.
Yeah.
Or Moshe Kasher. And he was really cool. And he'll
Motion capture.
He'll be at Punchline Philly tonight. And thank you to intern Allison, who we just spoke to a moment ago about official college radio day. So Pierre Robert is here. Hey, man.
Good day.
Good to see you.
Before, I mentioned this last week a couple times. A.D. Amorosi did the article on our alumni birthday party, and it was posted in a variety of places. It was in the Daily News, and it was in the Inquirer, and it was online at philly.com. And each different posting had different pictures of it. And in one of them, I was telling the story of MMR, and I had this button shirt, and I said, you know, in the beginning there was.
Yeah.
And then Metro Media said, let there be rock. And I unbuttoned my shirt.
You ripped your shirt open.
I ripped my shirt. Yeah, however you say it. Ripped my shirt open to find an old MMR T-shirt that I can still fit in these days from 1982. And so some photographer, Ed Newton apparently is a photographer, caught that moment when I was ripping open the shirt, and a slight grimace comes across my face, and somebody in true DJ Snide fashion wrote next to it in a caption, Hulk smash.
Love it.
It's just cute.
Yeah.
So I'll put a picture of that up. I just wanted to share that.
All right.
Hulk smash.
Hey, we should do the letter of the day. And then we're going to have to get our special word at 11 a.m. here in just a moment.
Oh, yeah.
Because it's already
time
for birthday.
Well, we can ramble right up to there easy.
All right. You think so?
Yeah, I think.
All right, let's do
that. Preston and Steve on 93.3 WMMR.
Now, the Daily Letter.
All right, the Preston and Steve Show is brought to you today by the letter.
Pancake, bring me that word.
I know what it is.
Why?
Yes, why it is.
The word is why.
The letter is why.
Yippee-i-yo-ki-yay, or yellow, or yeah.
All those things. Start with why.
Why.
And we're going to give away a trip for two to attend an exclusive party on set of The Walking Dead in Atlanta. That includes two nights hotel, airfare, and from Philly to Atlanta. Ground transportation in Atlanta, the Dead prize pack, and tickets to party with the Undead. TV's number one show, The Walking Dead, returns for Rick Grimes' final episodes this Sunday.
Yeah,
October 7th at 9, 8 Central, only on AMC, and you must be at least 18 years of age to enter. We will give that away tomorrow. So let's find out what you have in store, and then we'll get to that special word for the money.
We have tickets for the Struts, and again, you'll be able to meet and greet the band, go to the sound check, hear a few songs from the new album, and that's all at the TLA, and get tickets for the show Saturday night, where I will be, and Jackie and I are hosting that meet and greet. I have tickets for Bush tonight, and we'll do a giant workforce block. Bush with Gavin Rossdale and company, longtime friends of the station.
Yes.
Incredible show. Always, there's never a time I've seen him and them when he doesn't jump out into the audience. The first was at a Y100 show years ago, Y100 show, and he ran out into the audience at the center, and by the time he got back to the stage, his shirt had been ripped open.
Wow. Uh-huh.
His pants had holes in them. People were grabbing onto his Levi's. But he always runs out into the audience, and it's just such a great show. Some tickets remain at Ticketmaster.com. Highly encourage you to check it out. Another MMR 50th anniversary concert event. That's tonight at the old Electric Factory, now called North 7th or something like that. But you know where it is, and come out there. All right, and then we'll have workforce blocks, as I said, of Bush for Stevie Ray Vaughan's birthday yesterday. We'll get an SRV block on and AC/DC in honor of Brian Johnson's birthday tomorrow.
Excellent. All right. It is, you know what? It's 11 o'clock. So we can do this.
Time to rock.
Let's do that, man.
MMR's birthday box. Birthday box.
Take it away, Pierre.
I thank you, Preston. It is time to win $1,000. Birthday bucks, part two. Our word is winner. W-I-N-N-E-R. Don't be a loser. Be a winner. You have till 15 after. I always try to come up with some use of the word.
It's perfect.
Yeah. We're all winners. No, it's not winners. It's winner. W-I-N-N-E-R. You have till 11:15 to enter via our MMR mobile app. See how easy I can crash the car?
Yeah, it's easy.
On a regular basis. Or at WMMR.com. And great thanks to Sprouts Farmers Market and all of us at 93.3 WMMR in Philadelphia. Winner is the word.
All right. Good luck to you. I got to take a moment to thank our sponsors. Preston and Steve Show has been brought to you today by Dunkin' Donuts, the official coffee of the Preston and Steve Show. The Preston and Steve Show runs on Dunkin'. Also brought to you by Acme, the official supermarket of the Preston and Steve Show, and the Pennsylvania Ear Institute of Salus University. Tomorrow, we round out the week with some good stuff. We are going to have live music in the studio from the band Glorious Sons.
Cool. Love that.
Yeah,
very
they're going to
cool.
be doing an acoustic performance here, and we look forward to that. And so, Our friends from the Phils, their season's over, but Reese Hoskins and Andrew Knapp are going to be stopping by tomorrow.
That's cool.
Yeah, absolutely. Those things and more. That is it. We are done. So rage on and have a great day. And we will see you tomorrow, my friend. Bye-bye.
The Preston and Steve Love You, Hate You Line.
Shout out to my mechanic for fixing my exhaust. Decent price. But don't smoke in my car next time. Smell like a f***ing ashtray in here.
Next message.
Chicken fried chicken, and I can buy that, and it's like auto pay. I'm in.
Woohoo! Next message.
So I'm stuck behind a school bus right now, which is cool. Gotta pick up the kids. I got it. Gotta be safe. But all four kids all live next door to each other, and the school bus went to all four of their houses. You can't all just meet at one house.
The Preston and Steve Love You, Hate You Line.
Call 484-434-1333.
MMR rocks.
Brought to you by DellToyota.com and DellChevrolet.com.
Jack, sell them for less.